Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the House of Representatives Transportation Finance and Policy Committee for this Thursday, April 7th. Our first order of business is to take the roll to establish a quorum. Mr. Dodge.
Chair Hornstein.
Present.
Hornstein, present. Vice Chair Cagle.
Present.
Cagle, present. Representative Petersburg.
Petersburg, present.
Petersburg, present. Representative Barr.
Here.
Barr, present. Representative Bernardi.
Present.
Bernardi, present. Representative Elkins. Representative Elkins. Representative Frederick.
Present.
Frederick, present. Representative Houseman.
Present.
Houseman, present. Representative Heinrich. Representative Heinrich. Representative Kosnick. Representative Kosnick. Representative Heinrich, see you on the call now.
Heinrich present, thank you.
Heinrich present. Representative Mason.
Mason present.
Mason present. Representative Murphy. Representative Murphy. Representative Nelson.
Nelson present.
Nelson present. Representative Olson.
Olson present.
Olson present. Representative Richardson.
Present.
Richardson present. Representative Torkelson.
Torkelson present.
Torkelson present. Representative West.
Present.
West present. There is a quorum.
Thank you very much, Mr. Dodge. Our next item of business is approval of the Wednesday, April 6th minutes. Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do move the approval of the April 6th minutes.
Minutes are moved. Is there discussion? Seeing none, we can do a voice vote, members. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All of those opposed, motion prevails. Minutes are approved. So today is our day to mark up our omnibus finance and policy bill for 2022. That's House File 1683. And we will move momentarily a DE1 amendment, and then we'll take up amendments to the DE1. We'll also be directing staff to make any technical corrections as needed. We have until 5:30. For this section of the hearing. If we are able to get through all of the amendments, we'll adjourn at 5:30. If not, we may recess and then reconvene following a dinner break at 6:30, if needed. So we have a lot to cover, so let's just get going, folks. I'm going to turn things over to Vice Chair Cagle, who will chair the meeting.
Thank you, Chair Hornstein. I understand you'd like to move your bill, House File 1683, to Ways and Means Committee.
Yes, that is my motion, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And then would you like to move the DE1 amendment to House File 1683?
Yes, I'd like to move the DE1 amendment for consideration by the committee.
Thank you, Chair Hornstein. The motion is before us, but I understand you have an authors, the A34 amendment to DE. Would you like to move that amendment first?
Yeah, I'd like to move an author's amendment coded A34.
All right. Could you please explain the amendment?
Yes, Madam Chair. Thank you. So the A34 amendment to the DE1 puts the DE1 in the shape I would like it considered. It makes an adjustment in the state road construction appropriation to reflect the available trunk highway fund balance. It removes sections that require a fiscal note that we currently is not in the committee's possession. There's a provision that needs an additional committee stop, so we can't consider it here as well. And so we also have some clarifying and technical changes in this amendment.
Thank you, Chair Hornstein. Are there any questions to the A34 amendment? Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but is Mr. Burris being able to just give us clarification of the corrections that we're going through just briefly? They don't need to go into any great detail, but
sure.
So we kind of know which areas.
Yep. Mr. Burris?
Madam Chair, Representative Dearsberg. So there are a number of technical corrections somewhat scattered throughout. These are largely based on initial review in the revisor's office and recommendations. It has to do with standards for when commas are used, how head notes are designated. There was a cross-reference that was improperly identified in the delete all amendment. And then there's some phrasing and usage of terms changes. So I can go into the further or go to specific questions if there's something.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Petersburg. Are there any other questions to the A34? Seeing none, this is a voice vote. So if you'd please unmute yourself. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, motion prevails and the A34 is amended. Next, we have the A1 amendment. Representative Elkins, would you like to move that amendment and explain it briefly?
Yes, Madam Chair. I will move to include the A1 amendment in the bill. So this amendment basically brings the Administrative Citations Bill, House File 1306, into this omnibus bill. This is the Administrative Citations Bill that we passed out of this committee last year, 15-1. It is also currently on the General Register in case the Senate decides to move it on its own. But basically, this amendment brings the Administrative Citations Bill into our omnibus.
Thank you, Representative Elkins. Chair Hornstein?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would recommend a yes vote on this amendment.
Thank you. Any other discussion to the A1 amendment? Representative Koznick.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Elkins.
Before we move on, Representative Koznick, you do know the baseball game got moved to Friday, right?
Yeah, but, you know, we're so excited to be Minnesotans here in the house that we decided to have a little lunch party for opening day anyways. And I didn't have time to get out of my jersey. I still have my hot dog tray here and my pop. But
the chair approves your attire. The chair approves your attire, Representative Cousin.
I will be more in line later on when I present my amendments. Anyways, Madam Chair and Representative Elkins, for this, is this exactly the way we had passed it, or are there any additional security enhancements that would actually help reduce crime on the trains?
Representative Wilkins?
Madam Chair, Representative Koznick, this is exactly the bill that we passed out of committee last year, and it does include the additional reporting requirements that we added by an amendment from Representative Petersburg.
Representative Koznick?
Thanks for clarifying that. And, you know, we've been working on this for a while, and the option of doing nothing is not helping make transit safer. And so I appreciate the work that we've done on this, and I'll be supporting it. It's not maybe perfect to some people's opinion, but it is a move that we're doing something different to try to address the issue. And the fact that citations that are potentially be issued are not being issued, and the very few that are being issued are not being prosecuted for similar reasons that we'll have an amendment later on for the tow, when you get your car towed and don't have the ability to pay. Some of those similar reasons, I think the administrative citations has good merit. We should pass this. I know it's stalled in the other body, but that's their responsibility to address, and hopefully we can continue to do some work there. But doing nothing does not make transit safer, and so we should encourage these citations and see if that moves the direction of safety and security for people that might be going to the Twins game on transit. So thanks for bringing it up.
Thank you, Representative Koznick. Are there any other questions to the A1 amendment? Seeing none, we can do this as a voice vote as well. So please unmute yourselves. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, motion prevails. Next up or the motion carries. A1 is adopted. Next up is the A2. Representative Heinrich, do you want to offer this amendment?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. So this amendment, the A2, removes all the language in the bill that allows for EV charging stations at the rest stops. I just think that this is something that the private sector can take care of, just like we have gas stations, and we see EV stations popping up everywhere. I think right now in statute, there's no commercial or public commerce that can go on other than maybe vending machines, I believe, at the rest stops. And I think there's probably some good reasons for that. So, I encourage members to go ahead and vote for the A2 amendment. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Chair Hornstein.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Heinrich, for bringing this amendment. I think it's really important that we continue to support EV adoption. And, rest areas are an important place as people are traveling to and from their destinations. Very strategic to have charging stations there, and I would oppose the amendment, encourage a no vote.
Are there any more discussion to the A2 amendment? All right, seeing none, again, this can be a voice vote. So all those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, please say no. No.
No.
No.
No.
The motion does not prevail, and the A2 is not adopted. Next up, we have the A3. Representative Heinrich, do you want to offer this amendment as well?
That's right. Thank you, Madam Chair. And, so this amendment would make it so that taxpayers aren't on the hook for any charge, installation of these EV charging stations, operation, maintenance, security, any surcharges for electricity. I might be missing a few other things as well, but I tried to make it as encapsulating as possible so that, the private sector should take this up, and I just want to make sure taxpayers aren't on the hook for that. Thank you for the time, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Heinrich. Chair Hornstein?
Thank you very much, Madam Chair and Representative Heinrich. I have a similar argument on this one as well. I think that we need to be encouraging this infrastructure and would oppose the amendment and ask for a no vote.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I wanted to say, this amendment doesn't eliminate electric infrastructure at the rest stops. It just says that if it's going to be done, it should be done by a private business, a private entity, in order to make sure that it's done properly. After all, even if the state is responsible for it, the infrastructure will have to be supplied by these companies. And so this really makes sense that we would allow people who are going to be more effective and efficient at it to be able to do it. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Kosnick.
I would request a roll call on this amendment, please.
Roll call being requested. And anything else besides the roll call request?
No. Representative okay. Petersburg hit it.
All right. And Representative Heinrich, I'm assuming that was the same.
Madam Chair, yes, I was going to do that. And then maybe just ask if Chair Hornstein would indulge the committee just a tad on kind of what does the future look like in your vision, Mr. Chair, for funding of like kind of ongoing maintenance and maybe some other things outside of just the installation in the first place, if you could, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for the question, Representative Heinrich. I do agree with you that I think where we've seen electric charging stations installed, quite a bit of it is in the private sector. But I think like many new initiatives in transportation, I envision public-private partnerships. And certainly in this case, MnDOT has been the entity that's been applying for, federal money and various grants and things of that nature. So I view this as a public-private partnership, certainly at the beginning. But, I think ultimately as this moves forward, I think your vision will probably, I've no doubt that we're going to see quite a bit of participation in the private sector.
All right.
I just wanted to... Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for that, Representative Hornstein.
All right. Any further discussion to the A3 amendment? Seeing none and a roll call being requested, I will ask that Mr. Dodge take the roll.
Chair Cagle?
No.
Cagle, nay. Representative Hornstein?
No.
Hornstein, nay. Representative Petersburg?
Petersburg, aye.
Petersburg, aye. Representative Barr?
Aye.
Barr, aye. Representative Bernardi?
No.
Bernardi, nay. Representative Elkins?
Elkins, no.
Elkins, nay. Representative Frederick?
Nay.
Excuse me, Representative Frederick?
No.
Representative Frederick, nay. Representative Hausman?
Hausman, no.
Hausman, nay. Representative Heinrich?
Heinrich, aye.
Heinrich, aye. Representative Kosnick?
Aye.
Kosnick, aye. Representative Mason?
Mason, aye. What? I'm sorry, I lost what I... No.
Mason, nay. Representative Murphy?
Murphy, no.
Murphy, nay. Representative Nelson?
No.
Nelson, nay. Representative Olson?
Olson, yes.
Olson, aye. Representative Richardson?
No.
Richardson, nay. Representative Torkelson?
Torkelson, aye.
Torkelson, aye. Representative West?
West, aye.
West, aye. There are 7 ayes and 10 nays.
7 ayes and 10 nays. The motion does not prevail. Next up, we have the A4 amendment. Representative West, do you want to offer this amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I'd like to offer the A4 amendment. This amendment takes a small portion of the NLX train to Duluth and uses that to match the Senate funding that they provide in their transportation bill for Highway 65 at 99th Avenue. Now, this is incredibly important for Blaine, and it also goes to the overarching thought that we shouldn't be dumping a ton of money into new infrastructure when we have existing infrastructure that desperately needs to be fixed. And it is also especially important because looking at how the Senate put this $15 million in, that likely means, and with my conversations, I think this is going to be true, that we'll be able to get the general obligation bonds for the local road portion of this intersection in the bonding bill for $10 million. So to get that project done as quickly as possible, we need to put this amendment on the bill. And the added bonus at the end, if we put this amendment on, Olson's amendment is no longer in order because there's no money left. But thank you, Madam Chair, and I ask for your support.
Thank you, Representative West. Representative Hornstein.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for bringing this amendment, Representative West. Just a couple thoughts. Number one, I think these are both worthy projects. I don't think we, you know, passenger rail and the needed improvements that you articulated on Highway 65, which I agree with you, Representative West. I've heard a lot about this from both sides of the aisle. And I understand that for folks in your area and Representative Cagle's area and others, this is a priority. And I don't disagree with you on that. But I, you know, we don't put earmarks in our bills generally for highways. However, we are going to be hearing various bonding bills. This is newsflash, April 26th and 28th. We're going to have a number of bills heard related to bonding, and I will commit to you now, Representative West, that we will hear the Highway 65 bill, particularly because you know that is on the Senate side, and we kind of went around and around with them last year, and some earmarks made it into our bill. That's part of our process with them. But for now, and in the terms of the House bill, we're going to keep the earmarks out, but that doesn't mean that this is not a worthy project. And even though, you know, we can't put it in this bill now, it is worthy of future consideration, and we will hear it later in the session on an informational basis. So with that, members, I do ask for a no vote on this amendment.
Thank you, Chair Hornstein. Is there any other discussion to the A4 amendment?
Madam Chair.
Representative West.
I will be brief. Well, we kind of do already have earmarks in this bill a little bit, looking at the train funding and those kind of things. So I wouldn't say it's opening up
there's earmarks in here. They're just earmarks that are extra favorable to members on this committee. But I think if we want to get a substantial transportation bill done, I think we all acknowledge that earmarks will be a part of the final bill. And I want to see a bill actually make it to the finish line. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Seeing no other discussion, this will be a voice vote. So all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No.
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 The motion does not prevail and the A4 is not adopted. Next up, we have the A5 amendment. Representative Olson, did you want to offer the A5?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. So I feel like I'm a broken record here, continually attempting to try and snag some small amount of funding for my small cities and my townships. Understand, everyone, that we've had the gas tax for many, many, many years, and not a single penny of that gas tax has gone towards small cities and townships and their roads. And being someone from a small town, I've seen the budget, and our budget was about $30,000 a year for a road repair, which was not anywhere near sufficient to what we need to do to have to actually keep our infrastructure up to date. We've got small cities that have infrastructure that was put in right at the conclusion of World War II. That's 70 years, members. And so this amendment would just bring the small cities and township fund up to basically what the Senate is proposing in their bill. So I'd ask for a roll call on this amendment, please, Madam Chair.
All right, roll call being requested. Chair Hornstein.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Wilson. And I know that you are an authoritative voice on this, having been a mayor of a smaller community. Members, we have a base funding for small cities. I recognize that this is something that has been vexing this committee for decades, actually. And, we're trying hard to make sure that we can have dedicated funding for small cities. And I think that we have a position for that in the bill currently. And again, I don't, taking from one and giving to another when we have needs on both kinds of transportation infrastructure is not an approach that I support, and therefore would be asking for a no vote on the Olson Amendment.
Thank you, Chair Hornstein. Is there any other discussion to the A5 Amendment? Seeing none, I will ask that Mr. Dodge take the roll.
Chair Cagle?
No.
Cagle, nay. Representative Hornstein?
No.
Hornstein, nay. Representative Petersburg?
Petersburg, aye.
Petersburg, aye. Representative Barr?
Barr, aye.
Barr, aye. Representative Bernardi?
No.
Bernardi, nay. Representative Elkins?
Elkins, no.
Elkins, nay. Representative Frederick?
No.
Houseman, no.
He doesn't.
Heinrich, aye.
Mr. Dodge, we're having a hard time hearing you. A little bit, but not much. Mr. Howe, would you like to take over the role?
He's
Madam Chair, it went out just when he called my name, so I want to be sure I'm recording that my vote is recorded.
Yeah, we'll start with Representative Hausman when we clear up our technical problems.
Can you do it from your machine?
Madam Chair?
Yep, I can hear you better now.
Okay, thank you. Representative Hausman?
Hausman, no.
Hausman, nay. Representative Heinrich?
Heinrich, aye.
Heinrich, aye. Representative Koznick?
Aye.
Koznick, aye. Representative Mason?
Mason, no.
Mason, nay. Representative Murphy?
Murphy, no.
Murphy, nay. Representative Nelson?
Nelson, no.
Nelson, nay. Representative Olson?
Olson, aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Richardson?
No.
Richardson, nay. Representative Torkelson? Representative Torkelson,
aye.
Torkelson, aye. Representative West?
West, aye.
West, aye. There are 7 ayes and 10 nays.
Being 7 ayes and 10 nays, the motion does not prevail, and the A5 is not adopted. We will move on to the A6. Representative Heinrich, do you want to offer this amendment?
Yes, Madam Chair, thank you. So members, the A6 funds a twin engine helicopter for the State Patrol for $13.85 million. The funding is taken out of the proposal for the active transportation in fiscal year 23 and 24 and in 25. Active transportation would still get $650,000 in fiscal year 23 and $5.3 million in year 24 and 25. And members, I saw a video the other day on YouTube of a gentleman that lives in Portland, and it was just in an area where all the businesses had moved out. There's trash all over the place, the really a tough area, and the streets. And nobody was really there, but there was one of the whole lanes was taken and painted green for bikes. And so I think this is a good opportunity to have a vote here that supports law enforcement. Something that can reinforce, we need to stop the spirit of lawlessness happening in our cities. I don't want to see it to go the way of Portland and other cities we've seen in our country. So I think this is a good amendment where we can take some money and make sure we support our law enforcement so that we can have, safe cities. So thank you for the, consideration, Madam Chair.
Representative Torkelson.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. In support of this amendment, I'd just like to remind members that this was an item in the governor's budget, and it's actually a small fraction of what's in the Senate bill. So a good step toward reaching a final agreement. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair.
Representative Heinrich.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to request a roll call as well.
All right. Representative Hornstein.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I think there's several amendments that relate to active transportation, I'll just briefly talk a little about that. So I'll spare you the active transportation discussion for during the later amendments. But this appears in statute, an active transportation account at MnDOT actually was dates back to 2017. When that was negotiated by Senator Newman and Representative Torkelson at the time, the transportation chairs. And I thought that was a huge step forward to create the account, but it hasn't been funded till last year. We put in the bipartisan transportation agreement last year, $5 million. And members, we're just adding to that fund now. Keep in mind, this is like 0.1%, if that much, of what we spend at the state and regional level on transportation and transit projects. It's minuscule, but we get so much bang for our buck. We have talked a lot about safety in this committee, this session, particularly pedestrian safety. This goes for pedestrian safety infrastructure and bike safety infrastructure. And it couldn't be more important now with so many people getting hurt and injured. And it's also an important mode of transportation. I think people would be biking and walking more if they had options. And so for a variety of reasons, we want to get people, for health reasons, for environmental reasons, for quality of life reasons, having a robust active transportation account is very, very important. And again, this is such a minuscule part of what we spend. We're simply adding on to what we did last year, making progress. And so therefore, I would ask for a no vote on this. And with regard to the helicopter, this is a pretty late breaking request. And I think it just needs to be vetted a little bit more. So for those reasons, I would ask for a no vote.
Are there any more discussion to the A6 amendment? Seeing none, I will ask Mr. Dodge to take the roll, hopefully.
Chair Cagle?
No.
Cagle, nay. Representative Hornstein?
No.
Hornstein, nay. Representative Petersburg?
Petersburg, aye.
Petersburg, aye. Representative Barr?
Barr, aye.
Barr, aye. Representative Bernardi?
No.
Bernardi, nay. Representative Elkins?
Elkins, nay. Sorry about that.
Elkins, nay. Representative Frederick?
No. Mr. Dodge, your mic went out again. We're getting nothing. It's still really hard to hear.
Just 1 second.
No, you can stay here.
This is what we get for requesting roll calls, right?
No.
Mr. Chair, how would you like us to proceed?
We'll just give him one more minute, and hopefully he's changing locations to a better location. Sometimes, I know he's in the SOB, and it sometimes catches catch can here with.
Madam Chair, can you hear me?
Better. Yep.
Much better, yes.
And Representative Torkelson has his hand up, though.
Representative Torkelson?
Well, I was just going to interject that if we were all in the SOB, this wouldn't be a problem.
All right, Mr. Dodge.
Representative Frederick?
No.
Frederick, nay. Representative Houseman?
No.
Houseman, nay. Representative Heinrich?
Heinrich, aye.
Heinrich, aye. Representative Koznick?
Koznick votes yes.
Koznick, aye. Representative Mason?
Mason, no.
Mason, nay. Representative Murphy?
Murphy, no.
Murphy, nay. Representative Nelson.
Nelson, no.
Nelson, no. Representative Olson.
Olson, aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Richardson.
No.
Richardson, nay. Representative Torkelson.
Torkelson, aye.
Torkelson, aye. Representative West.
West, aye.
Excuse me, could you repeat, Representative West?
West, aye.
West, aye. There are 7 ayes and 10 nays.
There being 7 ayes and 10 nays, the motion does not prevail and the amendment is not adopted. Next up, we have the A7. Representative Torkelson, would you like to offer this amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I would like to offer the A7 and request a roll call on the amendment.
Roll call being requested. Proceed with the, please tell us about the A7.
Thank you, Madam Chair. One of the very important projects here in Minnesota that involves freight rail is the MRSI fund. It's been established for quite some time now, but it has kind of an uneven history of funding. We identified earlier in testimony that the needs in this short line railroad industry are in excess of $150 million. The $1 million allocation that's in this bill is less than 1% of the need. I feel it's far less than is necessary to make steady and adequate progress for the short line railroads and this very important industry that, after all, keeps many tons of products off of our highways and streets great benefit to make those highways last longer when they don't have to carry as much weight. Madam Chair, I realize I'm probably not going to be welcomed by where I've sourced these funds, but I do think it's very important that we point out that this particular area is underfunded in this bill. I would hope that as the negotiations move forward, the Chair and others would find that the Mercy program is a critical program that does deserve more than the amount that is presented in the bill as in the DE1 as amended. Thank you, Madam Chair. And I did request a roll call.
Yes, you did. Chair Hornstein.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Torkelson. I agree with you on the importance of this program. I think we just have a difference of opinion on the where it's funded. I heard the bill on this because, again, I agree with your general premise around the need to improve freight rail infrastructure for commerce for safety reasons, a number of areas that this important program supports. I know that there's a bonding request for this. I put in $1 million as a placeholder so that we have a House position that at least acknowledges the importance of this program. And as you point out, Representative Torkelson, you know, we have a long way to go, but I wanted to make sure that we acknowledge the importance of this program, put in some support, and hopefully the bonding provision can move forward. But if not, we have a backup plan.
Thank you.
And so for that reason, I would actually ask for a no vote, although it's a more of a friendly no vote, Representative Torkelson.
Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just very briefly, I just want to remind members that this particular program uses both grants and loans to move forward. So it's not like we're just giving all the money away. We're expecting our partners in the industry to make a contribution too. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Is there any other discussion to the A7 amendment? Seeing none, I will ask that Mr. Dodge take the roll.
Chair Cagle?
No.
Cagle, nay. Representative Hornstein?
Hornstein, no.
Hornstein, nay. Representative Petersburg?
Petersburg, aye.
Petersburg, aye. Representative Barr?
Aye.
Barr, aye. Representative Bernardi?
No.
Bernardi, nay. Representative Elkins?
Elkins, nay.
Elkins, nay. Representative Frederick?
No.
Frederick, nay. Representative Hausman?
Hausman, no.
Hausman, nay. Representative Heinrich?
Heinrich, aye.
Heinrich, aye. Representative Kosmic?
Kosmic, aye.
Kosmic, aye. Representative Mason?
Mason, no.
Mason, nay. Representative Murphy?
Murphy, no.
Murphy, nay. Representative Nelson?
Nelson, no.
Nelson, nay. Representative Olson?
Olson, aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Richardson?
No.
Richardson, nay. Representative Torkelson?
Torkelson, aye.
Torkelson, aye. Representative West?
West, aye.
West, aye. There are 7 ayes and 10 nays.
There being 7 ayes and 10 nays, the motion does not prevail and the A7 is not adopted. We will now move on to I have A9. Representative Torkelson, would you like to move the A9 amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I would like to move the A9 and request a roll call on the amendment.
Roll call being requested. All right. Could you please explain the A9?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The A9 really deals with an issue that we have already talked about in this committee, the issue of dedicating sales tax on auto parts and repairs to transportation. Of course, a portion of that is already dedicated to transportation. There's been a lot of talk around the Capitol about dedicating more of that to transportation, and it probably would be in this bill if it wasn't sitting in the Tax Committee waiting for action there. But the truth is, Madam Chair and members, that what happens in the Tax Committee we have no control of, and this is a big deal for transportation. If we can dedicate these dollars to transportation, it's an ongoing source. And since it's going to 100% potentially, it's a growing source over time, something that transportation has lacked, this growing source of general fund revenue for transportation that everyone depends on. And Madam Chair, also included in this amendment is the dedication of some of these dollars to small cities and townships. at a 7% of the total. Again, two areas we've talked about a lot, but two areas that are in need of a dependable source of revenue so they can do the work they need to do to maintain infrastructure in our townships and small towns. I could go on, Madam Chair, but I'll stop there. And I did request a roll call.
You did. Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I would just comment also that I think we're going to have a little bit of a challenge when it comes to conferencing the House bill and the Senate bill. This is one area that we agree the dollars need to come into transportation. This would line up with the transportation bill in the Senate, which would allow for a little bit easier time for us to actually come up with a conference committee report. And I think it's valuable for us to consider that as well, because I think we all know that these auto parts sales tax dollars need to come into transportation. And I think all of the construction people are looking for it too. So I would really encourage a yes vote so that we could actually get it into our bill so we have better control over the outcome of where it goes. Because as Representative Torkelson said, we aren't sure exactly what's going to happen with it once it has left here. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Petersburg. Representative Koznick, I see you got out of your baseball jersey and put on the golf uniform. No, I'm just teasing.
the jersey was getting a little warm in here. I would just like to also, you know, redistricting is a really interesting process. And it's a great reminder that not all townships or small cities are far, far away from the core cities, and there's close to in Dakota County, Scott County, and even in Hennepin County. So I will be supporting this bill.
Thank you, Representative Koznick. Chair Hornstein.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and appreciate your raising this issue, Representative Torkelson. You know, we did take a vote a week ago, which was, I think, pretty groundbreaking for this committee over the last, at least recent years, and moved a version of this amendment out to the Tax Committee, as you pointed out, Representative Torkelson, and that's where it sits. That's the jurisdiction. This is a huge tax change and tax issue, so that's why it's properly parked there. So I respect that jurisdictional process. And I think the second issue, you know, besides procedural in terms of why I'm recommending a no vote, is that we had a different approach where we followed the 60-40 precedent that's an MVEST for general fund money being dedicated to transportation, 60 for highways, 40 for transit. So for those two reasons, I recommend a no vote.
Representative Torkelson.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to be sure to thank Chair Hornstein for giving this issue serious consideration. It's a big step in the right direction.
Thank you, Representative Torkelson. Is there any other further discussion to the A9 amendment? Seeing none, I will ask that Mr. Dodge take the roll.
Chair Cagle?
No.
Cagle, nay. Representative Hornstein?
Hornstein, no.
Hornstein, nay. Representative Petersburg?
Petersburg, aye.
Petersburg, aye. Representative Barr?
Barr, aye.
Barr, aye. Representative Bernardi?
No.
Bernardi, nay. Representative Elkins?
Elkins, nay.
Elkins, nay. Representative Frederick?
No.
Frederick, nay. Representative Houseman?
Houseman, no.
Houseman, nay. Representative Koznick? Representative Heinrich, excuse me?
Heinrich, aye.
Heinrich, aye. Representative Koznick?
Koznick, aye.
Koznick, aye. Representative Mason?
No.
Mason, nay. Representative Murphy?
Murphy, no.
Murphy, nay. Representative Nelson?
Nelson, no.
Nelson, nay. Representative Olson?
Olson, aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Richardson?
No.
Richardson, nay. Representative Torkelson?
Torkelson, aye.
Torkelson, aye. Representative West?
West, aye.
West, aye. There are 7 ayes and 10 nays.
There being 7 ayes and 10 nays, the motion does not prevail and the A9 is not adopted. Next, we have the A10 amendment. Representative Heinrich, did you want to speak to the A10?
Yes, Madam Chair, I appreciate it. So, members, this bill is actually the House file is 4599. This was originally a bill, and then I thought maybe this would be a good idea to come in to this bill as an amendment. More on that in a minute. But what this does is the life cycle cost analysis statute was first enacted in 2010, and it essentially just told MnDOT to do one. And in 2014, the legislative auditor made some suggestions on how to improve the process. This legislation makes those changes as well as incorporates changes suggested by Concrete Paving Association and the Asphalt Paving Association. The amendment is or has full agreement by both sides. And so that's good. But today, Madam Chair and Mr. Chair, I'm going to actually withdraw this amendment. And if I can yield the rest of my time to Chair Hornstein to maybe take us down the asphalt and concrete road, show us the roadmap a little further. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Chair Hornstein.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Heinrich, for bringing this. And, you know, I think that we have a real opening and an opportunity to do something that really has been vexing this committee for many, many years, since at least I have been here. We've had the dispute, I think, between these two important transportation industry stakeholders. And I think that through your legislation, as you pointed out, you know, we're on our way to resolving some of those problems. And I think the life cycle analysis is an excellent idea. It's a fairly involved, amendment. If you can see, looking here, it's about 5 pages of new law. It's technical in nature. I think MnDOT has some thoughts about it. I had conversations yesterday with the representatives of the concrete and asphalt paving groups, as well as MnDOT. And I think that this amendment has a lot of a merit, but I think it needs to be vetted a little more. And as I've mentioned, we're going to have a couple of hearings at the end of the month. And I will commit to you on the record here, Representative Heinrich, that we will hear your bill on an informational basis and, you know, hear from folks and, you know, maybe craft a house policy, if you will, that we can bring in towards the end of session in negotiation. So I think that's going to be the proper process at this point. And so I appreciate, you know, your bringing this forward, and we will be hearing spoiler alert, we'll be hearing House File 4599 at the end of April, and we'll bring together everyone that has an interest in this issue, and then we'll have a full hearing and opportunity to really dig a little deeper into this, you know, fairly involved bill that you've brought us. But thank you for that, and, you know, I look forward to, you know, working with you as we head towards the end of session.
Thank you, Chair Hornstein. Representative Heinrich?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, just to wrap up, I just wanted to thank Chair Hornstein for the consideration and for your words and for your commitment to hear the bill in the future. And also, I want to thank you, Representative Cagle, Madam Chair, here today, and Representative Kosnick for being on the bill as well. That's it. Thank you for the time, Madam Chair.
Thank you. With that, we will move on to the A12 amendment. Representative Petersburg, did you want to offer this amendment?
Yes, Madam Chair, I would like to offer the A12, and I would request a roll call.
All right, roll call being requested.
So this amendment revolves around the task force that's being created to determine how we determine charges and mileage usage or whatever for electric vehicles, as well as others. And one of the challenges that we've always had when we started talking about how we deal with mileage-based is around data privacy. And it's a really hot topic, and it's something that in which I have always had concerns over where our data and who's keeping track of us, et cetera. And I think there's some concern. And so this amendment basically just removes the task force from looking at how we track individuals and try to figure out some other way of doing it. And so in a nutshell, that is the bill. And I request that that people support the bill and vote favorably for it. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Petersburg. Representative Elkins.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Representative Petersburg, for raising the issue. This is one of the most important issues around the subject. I'm also the author of a more comprehensive consumer data privacy bill, and I've been doing a great deal of study more generally into locational data privacy issues. And one of the reasons that I haven't pressed to have my broader consumer data privacy bill heard is that that bill needs a lot of work and improvement in this area. But I urge a vote against this amendment because this is one of the key issues that needs to be discussed as part of that task force.
Thank you, Representative Elkins. Chair Hornstein?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would concur with Representative Elkins. And this is a different approach than the bill we heard. I didn't feel, and I've certainly talked to the author and others who are interested in electric vehicles and a fair fee that they need to pay. This is, again, a pretty different approach. Our committee is just basically not taken a position on some of the fees other than opposing those that the Senate has brought to us in recent years. Now, this is a different approach where we're actually going to study what would be an appropriate fee and an appropriate mechanism to do it, really using Representative Elkins' bill as a base, looking at a mileage-based fee, among other potential approaches. So I'm pleased with that outcome, and I'm glad that we're carrying this task force in the bill, and for that reason would urge a no vote on the Petersburg Amendment.
Thank you, Chair Hornstein. Is there any further discussion?
Madam Chair?
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you. As a final comment, I would argue that with MMLARS and a few other things, transportation doesn't necessarily have a great track record in IT issues. And until we do have the ability to understand how we can keep track and keep our data privacy safe, I'm not sure that the Department of Transportation is the best to work on that portion of it. And that's my only concern. The rest of the task force, I think, is great. I still think that we are delving into a dangerous spot here, giving this authority for this particular task force. So with that, Mr. Chair, I would still request a yes vote. Thank you.
Representative Koznick.
Madam Chair, was there a roll call requested on this?
Yes, there was.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, Mr. Dodge will take the roll.
Chair Cagle?
No.
Cagle, nay. Representative Hornstein?
Hornstein, no.
Hornstein, nay. Representative Petersburg?
Petersburg, aye.
Petersburg, aye. Representative Barr?
Barr, aye.
Barr, aye. Representative Bernardi?
No.
Bernardi, nay. Representative Elkins?
Elkins, no.
Elkins, nay. Representative Frederick?
No.
Frederick, nay. Representative Hausman?
Hausman, no.
Hausman, nay. Representative Heinrich?
Heinrich, aye.
Heinrich, aye. Representative Koznick?
Aye.
Koznick, aye. Representative Mason?
Mason, no.
Mason, nay. Representative Murphy?
Murphy, no.
Murphy, nay. Representative Nelson?
Nelson, no.
Nelson, nay. Representative Olson?
Olson, aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Richardson?
No.
Richardson, nay. Representative Torkelson?
Torkelson, aye.
Torkelson, aye. Representative West?
West, aye.
West, aye. There are 7 ayes and 10 nays.
There being 7 ayes and 10 nays, the A-12 does not prevail, and it is not adopted. Next up is the A14. Representative Olson, did you want to offer the A14 amendment?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. So about a decade ago, I went to Arlington National Cemetery and I witnessed a soldier being buried with honors. And what really hit me was the new widow received a flag and there was some money on top of it. But that was what really hit me hard was she got a flag for the sacrifice of her soldier. And, you know, you all know I'm a reservist. And when I see my peace officers around the state of Minnesota, I thank them for their service. And I say, you know, you are actually serving more than I am, because I don't spend every single day on the front lines as our police, our peace officers do. And so I am a firm believer that we need to ensure that we always have enough money for the survivors of these peace officers who have served us and have sacrificed for us. And so this amendment would increase the size of the officer survivor fund and the benefits that they provide. And with that, I would request a roll call, please.
All right, a roll call will being requested. Chair Hornstein.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And of course, thank you, Representative Wilson, for your service. You know, these are both initiatives that have come to us from the Department of Public Safety. And I support both of them. I don't view the survivor benefits and taking a really important leap forward for traffic safety as at all mutually exclusive. I think they are both important. They're both priorities. And since we have a number of amendments, I think, related to the newly created Traffic Safety Advisory Council, let me just, for very briefly, you know, so I don't have to go over it for all the amendments, ask the committee to support this new initiative of driver and vehicle services. It really came to us from the agency after they acknowledged the importance of really enhancing our response to the epidemic of speeding and deaths on our highways. They listened carefully to a number of our hearings, particularly the first week in February, and came up with this idea, and of course we've made some changes to the bill we originally heard and involving more members of the public, for example. I think that was actually a suggestion from Representative Wilson, which I took to heart. So we have a structure in place now to advise DVS of the best approaches and strategies to reduce our deaths on highways and make it safer for motorists, pedestrians, bicyclists, all users of our public transportation infrastructure. And so I think this is a very, very important initiative. We fund it modestly, but we continue the funding into the tails. I'm very excited about it. I appreciate the work of the Office of Traffic Safety and you know, the way this will complement the Towards Zero Deaths initiative. We heard about that last week. So I would urge a no vote. And again, with appreciation for, you know, the importance of both of these issues, both coming to us from the Department of Public Safety, I would, you know, again, urge a no vote and encourage people to really support our new initiative here on traffic safety. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Chair Hornstein. Representative Olson.
Yeah, to just follow up, you know, I'll save it because I got another amendment about this new safety council. It gives me a little bit of heartburn, the idea that the government wants to create another program to fix a program that should be doing the job anyways, or could be reestablishing and kind of figuring out what their problems are and how they can better work it. But this amendment would, in fact, continue to keep that new safety council. It would just remove the funding. So there's no reason why the Towards Zero Deaths initiative shouldn't be able to create this council, or why the Minnesota Department of Transportation shouldn't be able to create this council on their own and utilize staff that they currently have. I think it's an irresponsible idea to hire someone to do the job for someone who can't do the job themselves. So that's just where my heartburn is. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Olson. Is there any further discussion to the A14 amendment? Seeing none, I will ask Mr. Dodge to take the roll.
Chair Cagle?
No.
Cagle, nay. Representative Hornstein?
Hornstein, no.
Hornstein, nay. Representative Petersburg?
Petersburg, aye.
Petersburg, aye. Representative Barr?
Barr, aye.
Barr, aye. Representative Bernardi?
Bernardi, no.
Bernardi, nay. Representative Elkins?
Elkins, no.
Elkins, nay. Representative Frederick?
No.
Frederick, nay. Representative Hausman?
Hausman, no.
Hausman, nay. Representative Heinrich?
Heinrich, aye.
Heinrich, aye. Representative Kosnick?
Kosnick, aye.
Kosnick, aye. Representative Mason?
Mason, no.
Mason, nay. Representative Murphy?
Murphy, no.
Murphy, nay. Representative Nelson?
No.
Nelson, nay. Representative Olson?
Olson, aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Richardson?
No.
Richardson, nay. Representative Torkelson?
Torkelson, aye.
Torkelson, aye. Representative West?
West, aye.
West, aye. There are 7 ayes and 10 nays.
Being 7 ayes and 10 nays, the motion does not prevail and the A14 is not adopted. Next, we have the A15. Representative Olson, did you want to offer this amendment?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. So this amendment just increases the funding for the soft body armor for our peace officers here in the state of Minnesota. Speaking from experience, I understand how well our body armor performs. Just a couple days ago, we had a peace officer who was shot in the line of duty. We need to ensure that every single peace officer in the state of Minnesota has access to this armor to protect their lives as they are protecting ours. So this amendment is absolutely a public safety amendment to help protect those who protect us. And I would request a roll call with this one as well, Madam Chair.
Roll call will be taken. Chair Hornstein.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And on this one, again, I think these are both priorities in our bill that both need funding. We're funding soft body armor at the level requested by the Department of Public Safety. And the planning for arterial bus rapid transit is very important. This is actually one of the transit issues where I think there is some really strong bipartisanship. We funded a couple of lines last year in our bill with the Senate, and we have several more proposals. This is just simply planning for 3 more additional lines. These are, it's a mode of transit that has been very resilient even during the pandemic. It's very popular. It's very forward-looking. It's the future. Again, I don't think we need to pit public safety against important transit improvements, particularly a transit mode that it has really supported on a bipartisan basis. So for those reasons, I ask for a no vote.
Is there any further discussion to the A15 amendment? Seeing none, I will ask that Mr. Dodge take the roll. Chair votes no.
Chair Cagle, no. Representative Hornstein?
Hornstein, no.
Hornstein, nay. Representative Petersburg?
Petersburg, aye.
Petersburg, aye. Representative Barr?
Barr, aye.
Barr, aye. Representative Bernardi?
No.
Bernardi, nay. Representative Elkins?
Elkins, no.
Elkins, nay. Representative Frederick?
No.
Frederick, nay. Representative Hausman?
Hausman, no.
Hausman, nay. Representative Heinrich?
Heinrich, aye.
Heinrich, aye. Representative Kosnick?
Aye.
Kosnick, aye. Representative Mason?
Mason, no.
Mason, nay. Representative Murphy?
Murphy, no.
Murphy, nay. Representative Nelson?
Nelson, no.
Nelson, nay. Representative Olson?
Olson, aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Richardson?
No.
Richardson, nay. Representative Torkelson?
Torkelson, aye.
Torkelson, aye. Representative West?
West, aye.
West, aye. There are 7 ayes and 10 nays.
The motion with 7 ayes and 10 nays, the motion does not prevail and the A15 is not adopted. Next, we have the A16 amendment. Representative Kosnick, did you want to offer the A16 amendment?
Yes, Madam Chair. I would move to amend the House File 1638 with the A16 amendment.
I think we're amending the DE. But
yeah, the DE, correct.
Okay. Could you please explain the A16 amendment?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Members, inside the packet, there was a letter of support from the City of Lakeville, significantly saying this project would enhance the rail network throughout Minnesota and the upper Midwest. And as I had mentioned in committee, this is a bill that enhances the overall transportation system by assisting our rail use. Maybe other members could mute, please. To enhance our overall transportation system by assisting our rail use to improve the efficiency of freight throughout the state. And as I had mentioned, that while this project is located in the district that I represent, the work that's done here is a link and connected to many communities and industries throughout the state. Much like the Corridors of Commerce program, rail really is another mode of connecting communities across the state, and the storage of rail cars in Lakeville is connected to the work that is being done or to be done in many other areas of the state that include, for this particular short rail line, Minneapolis, Bloomington, Eagan, Rosemont, Cannon Falls, Randolph, Northfield, Faribault, and even Northern Iowa from Mason City to Clear Lake. But then also this frees up and enhances freight traffic across the entire state into the northern part of the state as well. So I appreciate your consideration. Members, Mr. Chair, this is a provision that is in the Senate bill. And so I am actually doing you a favor by getting your bills to merge a little bit together. And you yourself, I know, is a big advocate of using and enhancing multi modes of transportation, and this is one that we don't always spend a lot of time on. So I would appreciate your support, and if you can't, a friendly no would be appreciated.
Chair Hornstein.
Thank you, Representative Kosnick, and you're right, we don't spend a lot of time on this, and that is why I heard your bill. We gave it a hearing, and I thought the representative, the individual from Lakeville did a really good job. It's a, an important project. I don't dispute that, but there are some. So here's the friendly no, Representative Kosnick. I have talked a little bit with some of the administrators of the Mercy program, and so there are just a couple of issues here with this. It's bypassing the normal project selection process, and by doing that, it then reduces the other the funding available for other competitive grants and loans for other worthy projects, not to say this isn't worthy. So it bypasses the project, but my understanding again is that the Mercy program doesn't typically fund preliminary engineering. And so that's what you have on line 1.7 of the amendment. So, it may not be the last that we hear about this issue, but I think it's not a no about the worthiness of it. It's a no about this falling really outside of the normal process of the Mercy program. And so that's why I would oppose the amendment.
Any further discussion to the A16? Representative Kosnick?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I don't remember if I asked for a roll call.
I don't think.
Or actually, no, I'm not. I'll just do a voice call on this. Madam Chair and members and Chair Hornstein, I appreciate your comments. You're right, this is not in the normal Mercy grant program, simply using that account as a place to administer this project and hold the funds. So technical difference there, but I think it's an important project, an important way to connect our transportation system. So I appreciate your consideration. If I got a friendly no, maybe I could get an angry yes, and then we'd both be happy. but I appreciate your consideration. I do appreciate you hearing this bill, and maybe we can continue to make some progress on this because it is important, not just for the district I represent. Chair Hornstein. It is these kinds of projects that do enhance our rail system across the state to get products to where they need to be and reduce road and trucking traffic and all those other arguments that you're well aware of. So with that, we'll just do a voice vote. Thank you.
Sounds good. All right, members, if you could please unmute yourselves. All those in favor of the A16, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, please say nay.
Nay. No.
The motion does not prevail and the A16 is not adopted. We now will move on to the A17. I have to say I'm impressed with the time we're making, you guys. So the A17, Representative Kosnick, did you want to offer this amendment?
Madam Chair and committee members, I would move the A17 amendment and would request a roll call.
That's a tongue twister. all right, please explain the A17 amendment.
Members, this bill or amendment helps us to be more fiscally prudent with our taxpayer dollars. The limited dollars that we have in our transportation system is the discussion of much of our amendments today. But it's well documented. We have a project, the Southwest Light Rail Extension, that is unprecedented in how over budget it is and historical in how far behind the project is in its schedule. And so we do have an audit. We had bipartisan agreement minus one member to shed transparency on how that got so over budget, how that got so behind schedule, and to avoid this kind of future waste or additional waste in any other projects, and to prohibit another boondoggle of this sort from happening until this project is completed, this amendment prohibits starting any new projects until that one is completed and we have a better, more clear, transparent understanding and hopefully can instill better processes in these guideways to avoid these boondoggles and be more fiscally responsible with the taxpayer dollars as we work to enhance our transportation system. And so it just makes sense to kind of tap the brakes, slow down a little bit on these projects and be responsible to the taxpayers so that we can make sure that we have processes in place that get these projects done on time, on budget, and respect the taxpayers' dollars. That is the amendment, Madam Chair. And I would request the roll call on this one.
Thank you, Representative Kosnick. Chair Hornstein.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Kosnick, I appreciate your raising the audit because, this is something that is fairly unprecedented in terms of not only the size and scope of the delays and the cost overruns, but also unprecedented in terms of how we are approaching this as a legislature. You pointed out that it was a very strong bipartisan vote. It was unanimous in the Senate and only one person in the House voting no. I think that's really impressive. But so we're gonna get some results from this relatively soon, the special review will be due really in we're going to start getting information on that in a matter of just a few short months. And then the members, if you didn't know already, the official audit commission will be taking this on because we had enough votes. And I imagine those were bipartisan votes as well in the House and Senate to direct the auditor. So that audit is now happening. And I believe that the auditor will have some important recommendations for us coming very soon that I think will address some of your concerns, Representative Kosnick. The reason I'm going to ask for a no vote here is that, there are some important projects that are pretty far along. And I think just to sort of pull the plug on them, at this point would actually cause more, would cause more problems for local taxpayers because they would increase the cost. And I'll say on the record, I appreciated your presence when we did the groundbreaking for the Orange Line. And then when you were also at the ribbon cutting. And, you know, had this amendment been law just 3 months ago, we would have had all the infrastructure for the Orange Line up and running, but then we couldn't start running the buses until 2027. And I think that's very wasteful. And right now, the Gold Line, which is connecting downtown St. Paul and Woodbury, is close to starting construction. They've lined up all of the funding, and that would be done. I think the timeline is 2025. And so I don't think it's responsible to penalize people in Woodbury who have been waiting for this line because there were some bad decisions made on Southwest. I think, you know, I will admit, you know, the routing decision was not a good one. And of course, we've had the issues with the cost overruns, which I think have to do with the contractor. And, you know, we're going to be getting those answers. So I think this is not a responsible way to go about addressing this issue. I think it'll be actually more costly. And we have some projects that are in the works that, you know, really deserve to move forward. Most immediately, it's the Gold Line, but there's some others. So I would ask for a no vote.
Thank you, Chair Hornstein. Is there any other discussion to the A17 amendment? Seeing none, I will ask Mr. Dodge to take the roll. And
closing comments.
What was that? Oh, sorry, Representative Kosnick. Go ahead.
Thank you. Chair Hornstein, appreciate the comments, and you know the results of the audit in a couple months is hopefully will shed some light, and we can establish some new procedures and correct bad policy in terms of these projects. But this particular project is scheduled to be done for years, and I would hate to continue down the road of bad project management over the next couple years. And losing more money on these projects. So that is why I brought the amendment, but I respect your opinion, and we can proceed with the roll call. Thank you, sir and ma'am.
Thank you, Representative Kosnick. Seeing no further discussion to the A17, Mr. Dodge, can you please take the roll? And chair votes no.
Hagel, nay. Representative Hornstein?
Hornstein, no.
Hornstein, nay. Representative Petersburg?
Petersburg, aye.
Petersburg, aye. Representative Barr?
Barr, aye.
Barr, aye. Representative Bernardi?
Bernardi, nay.
Bernardi, nay. Representative Elkins?
Elkins, no.
Elkins, nay. Representative Frederick?
No.
Frederick, nay. Representative Hausman?
Hausman, no.
Hausman, nay. Representative Heinrich?
Heinrich, aye.
Heinrich, aye. Representative Kosnick?
Kosnick, aye.
Kosnick, aye. Representative Mason? Representative Mason?
Mason, no.
Mason, nay. Representative Murphy? Representative Murphy?
Murphy, no.
Murphy, nay. Representative Nelson?
Nelson, no.
Nelson, nay. Representative Olson?
Olson, aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Richardson?
No.
Richardson, nay. Representative Torkelson?
Torkelson, aye.
Torkelson, aye. Representative West?
West, aye.
West, aye. There are 7 ayes and 10 nays.
With 7 ayes and 10 nays, the A17 is not adopted. Next up is the A18. Representative Kosnick, would you like to present the A18?
Thank you again, Madam Chair, and maybe could remind members to mute themselves when they're not taking a vote or speaking. What this project does is, I brought it forward for a couple of reasons. We had this bill in Transportation Committee last year, but the manner in which this particular project, the Rondo project, came to the legislature was under a very untransparent, very much the dark of night, if you will, process where it was tucked into a tax bill, and I'm not aware of any particular tax purposes of this project that it should have been in there. But we did barely even got a third reading. We didn't get a debate on that tax bill last year at the very, very end of session. And I bring this amendment forward to highlight that horrible, untransparent process. It's not particularly to speak of the merits or controversy about the project. I did appreciate hearing the bill and learning about it. It's unfortunate and how the Rondo neighborhood, the freeway came over there. That was long time ago before all of our times or most of us. And I just think that we need to highlight, and that's the intent of my amendment. I will ask for a roll call because we need to have full transparency on projects like this that I think is estimated about a $6 billion project. And so, you know, on the financial aspects of it, I really have some concern about using transportation dollars on a project like this. If we want to expand a bridge over the freeway, that's one thing, but a complete land bridge for less transportation purposes, less transportation efficiency, and more for other reasons, this project is being advanced. But really the process that this bill became into law is troublesome. And as we've heard a couple other projects, Representative Nash, West, his project up on Highway 65 in the Senate, there's a number of projects in my community that could use much less money to make the road safer. Dodd Boulevard in Dakota County comes to mind. Those projects, I think, and there's probably every one of us has some kind of a safety project, transportation in our districts, but yet in a very untransparent way, this project was passed through the legislature outside of the Transportation Committee and tucked into a tax bill is just kind of the worst of the process that happens at the Capitol. I'm not naive, and I understand how or why, perhaps, but that's really not good governance. And so, members, I would encourage a yes vote on this project because it's for transparency to put this project back through the legislature more on its own merits rather than being tucked into a last-minute bill the last closing days of session. So thank you, committee.
Thank you, Representative Koznick. Chair Hornstein?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would urge a no vote here. You know, we had the better part of an entire hearing on this bill. It was a bill that was introduced by Representative Richardson. We heard the bill. We laid it over. Again, almost an hour, I believe, or more of testimony. We had very compelling testimony from Mayor Carter of St. Paul, Marvin Anderson, a longtime resident of the community. We learned about the history. We learned about how this Black community was devastated by actions of the Minnesota Highway Department. It wasn't called MnDOT at the time, and how important this was as a transportation project to right the wrongs of history. And so we had a very good hearing, a moving hearing, in fact. And so this was in our bill. And at the end of session, there was a leadership agreement, a bipartisan leadership agreement to pass this bill, which was passed. Again, this is a bipartisan agreement made at the leadership level. There was transparency through the hearing process. And so I support that decision that was made to make sure that this extremely important project was funded. And it is proceeding along. There is now some commitment to federal funds. There are a number of organizations in the community that are bought into this. There's a lot of excitement. And so, you know, just to pull the rug under this critical project because of some perceived issue at the end of last session, which again, we have transparency. This was heard and discussed in this committee. We heard it again when we did the markup last year, because that was in our bill. So there's no issue with transparency here. This was a very transparent process. And our leadership, on a bipartisan basis, approved this project. And it's been very successful so far. I mean, a lot of additional resources being committed and community engagement happening. So I would just strongly oppose this urge the committee to reject this AA18 amendment.
Thank you, Chair Hornstein. And I also wanted to mention, too, that there part of this amendment prohibits us from using federal funds for this program, there's quite a significant amount of money in the IIJA program that is specifically geared towards reconnecting communities. And so I think it would be a huge mistake for us to prohibit MnDOT or Met Council from using those federal funds. Representative Kosnick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Seeing no other committee comments. I appreciate the discussion, Representative Hornstein, Chair Hornstein. There may have been leadership agreement, but it was poor leadership to the manner in which that bill was passed, but it didn't include the House minority, and might perhaps have been bipartisan, but it certainly wasn't bicameral. In fact, it was very partisan. I don't believe that there were any votes from the House minority on that bill that included this project. And Chair, Vice Chair Cagle, you bring up a good point about new additional funding. People voted, might have voted or supported a preliminary study, which was the tax bill to get this project going, but certainly not the $6 billion to create a land bridge that doesn't, in my opinion, particularly enhance a lot of transportation efficiency for that size of a project. So again, I'll renew my motion and encourage members to vote yes on this amendment.
Is there any other discussion to the A18? And seeing none, Mr. Dodge, will you please take the roll? Chair votes no.
Cagle, nay. Representative Hornstein.
Hornstein, no.
Hornstein, nay. Representative Petersburg.
Petersburg, aye.
Petersburg, aye. Representative Barr.
Barr, aye.
Barr, aye. Representative Bernardi.
Bernardi, nay.
Bernardi, nay. Representative Elkins.
Elkins, nay.
Elkins, nay. Representative Frederick.
No.
Frederick, nay. Representative Hausman.
Hausman, no.
Hausman, nay. Representative Heinrich.
Heinrich, aye.
Heinrich, aye. Representative Kosnick.
Kosnick, aye.
Kosnick, aye. Representative Mason.
Mason, no.
Mason, nay. Representative Murphy.
Murphy, no.
Murphy, nay. Representative Nelson.
Nelson, no.
Nelson, nay. Representative Olson.
Olson, aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Richardson.
No.
Richardson, nay. Representative Torkelson.
Torkelson, aye.
Torkelson, aye. Representative West.
West, aye.
West, aye. There are 7 ayes and 10 nays.
With 7 ayes and 10 nays, the motion does not prevail, and the A18 is not adopted. Next up, we have the A19. Representative West, did you want to move the A19 amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I will move the A19 amendment. And the A19 amendment prohibits the Met Council from issuing certificate of participation bonds for guideway projects. And my reason for bringing this amendment primarily is Met Council is an unelected body. They shouldn't be bonding in the first place, is my personal opinion. But when we're looking at the present situation, investing in new transit, and this is my theme today,
when we have horrible problems on our roads that already exist, that already are causing huge issues, we should be focusing on that. So trying to narrow the scope of the Met Council's bonding authority also might help them balance their budget a little bit with the ongoing problems you see in metro mobility and those other things. And I hope the committee can find some support for this, because it is something that I think needs to happen. And I would also request a roll call, please.
All right, roll call requested. Chair Hornstein.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative West. And Representative West, you know, a couple things I agree with you in this amendment. You might be surprised to hear that, but there's many things I disagree with. And so I would urge a no vote. But let's just start with an idea that you've raised here that I think is meritorious. And, you know, we do have municipal consent for certain highway projects and light rail projects. And I think extending municipal consent to transitways is an idea worthy of consideration. I also agree with you about the Met Council. You and I are completely simpatico on that. I think this is a very important agency that has extensive powers that needs to be elected. We need an elected Met Council. I think a number of some of the issues that you're raising in this amendment, other issues that have been in the district I represent, you know, I'm not saying would 100% be alleviated if we had election, but I think there'd be a lot more transparency and a lot more accountability. So thank you for raising that. I hope, you know, I have a bill on this, and I think that Chair Mason may be hearing it at least on an informational basis, so we can get that discussion in the legislature going, because I think there's some, again, we're in the minority, Representative West. I think there's people on both sides of the aisle that have some concerns about the elected Met Council, but that's not what we're talking about now. But I do appreciate your bringing that up, and I do think that would alleviate some of the issues that we're trying to address here. You know, in terms of the certificates of participation, I don't believe the Met Council sort of cannot use those for light rail. That's in statute. I don't think they use them for these projects, so I don't think that's necessary here. But the problem in your amendment that is most concerning to me is starting on lines 3.12. And I think to shift all of this to counties is going to be very, very problematic. You know, these transit systems are regional in nature. So I have two issues with Section 53 in your amendment. One is I think it balkanizes our system. You know, we have then a county by county situation rather than a regional situation. And I think that responsibility for our transit system is a shared responsibility between the Met Council and counties. So shifting all of this to the counties, I think is hugely problematic. And, you know, that's the main reason I oppose this. I also think there's some issues with how the municipal consent piece is structured, you know, in terms of the timing of the consent. And to your last point, you know, we need support for roads and for transit. Transit now more than ever is critical for so many people, for mobility, getting people to jobs. There is a climate aspect to transit that's critical, an equity issue with that. And I think this would really put a damper on our future transit plans. So for those reasons, I ask for no vote. But there are a couple things, Representative West, that I think are you know, certainly are interesting, and I would like to, you know, potentially pursue with you in the future. But again, I think 3.12, county responsibility for guideway funding, is, as far as I'm concerned, a non-starter. So I would urge a no vote.
Representative West.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We can just go to the vote.
All right. Did you request a roll call on this one, Representative West? Okay. Is there any other discussion to the A19? Seeing none, Mr. Dodge will take the roll, and the chair votes no.
Hagel, nay. Representative Hornstein.
Hornstein, no.
Hornstein, nay. Representative Petersburg.
Petersburg, aye.
Petersburg, aye. Representative Barr.
Barr, aye.
Barr, aye. Representative Bernardi.
Bernardi, nay.
Bernardi, nay. Representative Elkins.
Elkins, nay.
Elkins, nay. Representative Frederick.
No.
Frederick, nay. Representative Hausman.
Hausman, no.
Hausman, nay. Representative Heinrich.
Heinrich, aye.
Heinrich, aye. Representative Koznick.
Aye.
Koznick, aye. Representative Mason.
Mason, no.
Mason, nay. Representative Murphy.
Murphy, nay.
Murphy, nay. Representative Nelson.
Nay.
Nelson, nay. Representative Olson.
Olson, aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Richardson.
No.
Richardson, nay. Representative Torkelson.
Torkelson, aye.
Torkelson, aye. Representative West.
West, aye.
West, aye. There are 7 ayes and 10 nays.
With 7 ayes and 10 nays, the motion does not prevail and the A-19 is not adopted. Next, we have the A-20 amendment. Representative West, did you want to offer this amendment as well?
Yes, Madam Chair. I will move the A-20 amendment, and hopefully the third time's a charm. So this is something that is very near and dear to my heart and to my community and my county in particular. North Star Commuter Rail has been, I mean, the case was made when it was first built that we didn't have the population density to support it. And turns out, yes, that was 100% true. It never met its projections. And now, since the pandemic, it's gone down 95%, which is just astronomical. Like, how many empty trains is that? And it's a colossal waste of money. And they just recently suspended rides down to Twins games, which is one of the few reasons I would ever consider riding it. So it's something that's a giant money sink for my county. It's gonna be a big problem. It has been a big problem. That's going to make it difficult for the county to balance its books, which can lead to property tax increases. And that is not what we want up here in Anoka County. I think the 5% of the people who still ride it can find other means to transport themselves. And it also goes to the broader theme of, with COVID, we saw people working from home. More people work from home than even use the transit system. And that was true in some areas before the pandemic. Now I'm sure it's true everywhere. So we have these money sinks that are just killing us, and especially Anoka County in particular with this one. So if we can terminate this and move on, we can focus on the real infrastructure problems like fixing Highway 65. Chair, I'd request a roll call, and you might get tired of hearing me about Highway 65, but this is my last amendment.
All right, roll call being requested. I'm going to take a little bit of a prerogative here in that and comment on this one as well. So I actually live right along the line, and I know Representative Heinrich knows this pretty well, but Highway 10 is going to be under construction for the next 4 years. And at a recent North Mayor's Metro Association meeting, which I attend on a regular basis, they had been talking about how, the construction is really going to put a damper. It's down to one lane on Highway 10. And, I drive that quite often. And even with it being at two lanes, it's usually a mess all the way up to Ramsey. And so I think, you know, terminating the North Star right now, where there's going to be 4 years of construction on Highway 10, is a big mistake. One of the reasons that the North Star is not running to the Twins games anymore is because of the fact that Anoka County hasn't paid Met Council since 2020. And when they're the biggest contributors and not committing to their deal that they signed back in 2018, I think that's one of the bigger problems. And so for me, it really is worrisome that we want to take this off the rails when there's going to be huge traffic concerns on Highway 10. And just the fact that Anoka County has decided just not to live up to their obligation is really kind of is disappointing. And so I think that this getting rid of North Star right now, especially when we authorized the study last year to actually make informed decisions about the train is we need to wait for that to come back. So I will, Representative Heinrich.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm glad that you brought that up or made those statements, Madam Chair, about Anoka County, but I think, you know, that's probably not the full story, I guess, at least from my point of view. And 2022 grant agreement summary shows that Metro Transit never did plan for any special event trains. So that was, you know, now blaming Anoka County. You know, it's kind of tough because you can find that information on their own documents. So I think that's kind of been prevailing. That was actually going to be my question for Representative West, if he knew anything more in depth about how that worked. But I do support the amendment. Thank you for the time.
Representative West?
No, you basically hit it on the head. The county does not feel like it's being treated fairly in the agreement. And to the earlier point, it's a giant money sink. It's a very, 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 very big and growing problem for the county. And them not contributing is just more evidence of it. And I think they're doing the right thing, representing their taxpayers well.
Well, thank you, Representative West. They did sign the agreement through 2022 and haven't paid since 20. So to me, that sounds like a breach of contract, but you know, again, we don't know the details. So Representative Kosnick, or I'm sorry, Representative Barr.
Madam Chair, I'm supporting this, but to your comments about the ridership and Highway 10, if we get to the end of this year and the ridership isn't up 50-60% of capacity or at least fare box recovery, I don't see how that can be taken as anything other than the public putting an exclamation point on ending North Star Light Rail.
Thank you, Representative Barr. Representative Kosnick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm wondering if the author of the amendment, Representative West, could clarify a little bit of the discussion that I'm hearing. Is Anoka County, did they make the decision to not run the North Star 2 Twins games, or was that on the Met Council?
Representative West.
My understanding is that was the Met Council making decision, and they cited the contributions from Anoka County that the chair mentioned as well.
Representative Kosnick.
Thank you for clarifying that, Representative West, and thank you for bringing this amendment. I've long been an advocate that we need to have efficient use of our transportation dollars, and this is like the epitome of inefficiency, and Anoka County recognizes that now. And I think it's with a lot of the potential new funds that we're getting, I'd mentioned in committee previously that, you know, maybe we take some of those federal dollars or what you're proposing to do is here is end it and get that federal waiver. But if not, maybe we take other funds that we have and just terminate that and save the taxpayers more money down the road. Additionally, I do not believe that we've ever seen that, and I remember a study looking at this last session, there is no correlation with the North Star line and reducing congestion on Highway 10 or 94. So while I wish that was true, if it was, we would have much better flow of traffic in a lot of areas where the trains are. In this case, I don't believe that's true. And so Representative West, thank you for bringing this amendment for us. And I will be supporting mothballing North Star.
Thank you, Representative Kosnick. It's actually that they are doing construction on Highway 10. So it's down to one lane. So it's actually the congestion is going to be increasing for the next 4 years. And so I think if you've ever sat on Highway 10 in rush hour, even with four lanes, it takes a long time. So I'm sure my cousin who lives behind the Broadway Pizza in Elk River is going to be taking the train a lot more than right now. So Representative Kosnick.
Just to remind the committee and yourself, Representative Vice Chair Cagle, I did grow up in actually Ramsey. I went to Anoka High School, and I'm familiar, spent a lot of time on Highway 10, and I don't think the North Star has relieved any congestion there. If there is congestion there, it is because of construction, and I don't think the North Star will be relieving that traffic very much. But I am glad that we were able to do some expansion and projects on 94 on the other side of the river. Hopefully that'll be the reroute for many people to avoid that construction. But I'm glad that we are investing some money on Highway 10, and I hope the constituents in that area and those around the state that use that road will appreciate it, and it'll be more efficient once that project's done.
Thank you. Representative Heinrich. You're on mute.
Thank you, Madam Chair. One more time. I couldn't let it go, but I'll be quick. So in the service agreement, you expect X amount of dollars for X amount of trips. It's a fact that the Twins games were never planned in into the they weren't put in. And so why would Anoka County and have to pony up for less service? I think Sherburne and Hennepin are both still paying for lack of trips, I think, in the original agreement. So the term breach of contract's been thrown around. I think that's a little strong to lay blame on Anoka County for breach of contract. And I said my piece. Thank you for the time.
Thank you, Representative Hornstein.
Thanks, members, for this good discussion. And so just a couple pieces to the amendment that I wanted to talk about, and I will be recommending a no vote. But I wanted to let the committee know and the general public that this is an issue, and it needs to be examined. The amendment deals just with the FTA, but there are ongoing conversations between all of the entities involved with this. MnDOT, BNSF Railroad, the state, counties, the state through MnDOT, and of course the Metropolitan Council. And there are active discussions that are putting all options on the table, including, not only reducing the service, but potentially eliminating the service or making adjustments to continuing the service. Those are all on the table. Those are all being discussed now by all of the partners. And we may be getting some, guidance on this as early as the end of this year. Also, members, as part of the transportation omnibus final bill last year, Representative Newman and I agreed that, or I'm sorry, Senator Newman, oh boy, Chairman Senator Newman and I agreed that not only should North Star be studied for post-COVID ridership patterns and projections, but all the commuter services. We have commuter buses that I think are, still struggling to with the ridership. I'm confident that will come back as the pandemic ebbs. We hope it will ebb. We're still in the midst of it. But that study is being conducted by the University of Minnesota, the Center for Transportation Studies. We wanted an objective study done of all commuter routes, buses and trains, including the North Star. So we're going to have the North Star group specifically issuing some recommendations by the end of the year. We're going to have the U of M next year giving us a series of recommendations. And so I, for one, am going to hold by those conversations that are taking place. And just to let folks know, all aspects of North Star are being discussed, and I prefer to wait for the results of those discussions before we move on this. And again, one of the problems with this amendment is it only deals with the FTA when we have many, many other entities that are meeting. So appreciate the conversation. It's an important one. I'm going to recommend a no vote on the A20 amendment.
Representative West.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And that's the big frustrating thing about when we build these rail is they'll come with these projections that sound wonderful. They're never true. And then we're just stuck with it. Once they're built, we just can't get rid of them. And that goes to, you know, another part of the bill, building the Duluth train. Although a lot of that is shared, we're just incurring all these expenses with these rosy projections that are never true. So now that we're down 95% ridership, now is the time to end North Star, and the counties that host it don't want it. Let's help them out so they can concentrate on, you know, county road like 109th crossing Highway 65. I mean, that's where we need the money. We don't need the money in North Star Light Rail. It's not helping anyone at this point. Thank you, Madam Chair.
And did you request a roll call on this one?
Yes.
Okay. Any other discussion? Seeing none, I'll ask Mr. Dodge to take the roll. Chair votes no.
Hagel, nay. Representative Hornstein?
Hornstein, no.
Hornstein, nay. Representative Petersburg?
Petersburg, aye.
Petersburg, aye. Representative Barr?
Barr, aye.
Barr, aye. Representative Bernardi?
Bernardi, nay.
Bernardi, nay. Representative Elkins?
Elkins, nay.
Elkins, nay. Representative Frederick?
Nay.
President Frederick, can you repeat?
Nay.
Frederick, nay. Representative Houseman?
Houseman, no.
Houseman, nay. Representative Heinrich? Representative Heinrich? 829. Representative Kosnick?
Kosnick votes aye.
Kosnick, aye. Representative Mason?
Mason, no.
Mason, nay. Representative Murphy?
Murphy, nay. Nay.
Murphy, nay. Representative Nelson?
Nay.
Nelson, nay. Representative Olson?
Olson, yes.
Olson, aye. Representative Richardson?
No.
Richardson, nay. Representative Torkelson?
Torkelson, aye.
Torkelson, aye. Representative West?
West, aye.
West, aye. There are 6 ayes and 10 nays.
With 6 ayes and 10 nays, the motion does not prevail and the A20 is not adopted. I'm glad Representative Petersburg thinks that nay is as funny as I do. next up, we have the A21 amendment. Representative Bernardi, would you like to offer your amendment?
Yes, I'd like to move the A21 amendment.
Please tell us about your amendment.
Well, Madam Chair and members, this amendment would add in some of the policy language changes to 169.18 and 169.222 that were in the omnibus bill last year and did not pass. It also has some language updates recommended by Mr. Burris, things like changes from shall to must and shall to is not prohibited. This language passed this committee 3 times and passed as a separate bill on the House floor 122-0 a couple years ago. Specifically, the changes to 169.18 subdivision 3, other than Mr. Burris's updates, make the language in subdivision 3 the same as the language already in subdivision 5, where it says you must pass a bicycle by at least the greater of 3 feet or one half the width of a motor vehicle, or completely enter another lane of the roadway. The change to 169.222, subdivision 4, changes the language: every person operating a bicycle must ride as close as practicable to the right edge of the road, to as close to the right hand edge of the bicycle operator determines is safe. The other key change is that this would allow bicycle operators to enter and cross an intersection from the right-hand turn lane without turning right. These operation of bicycle changes are both recommended by the National Conference of State Legislatures. The word practicable is misunderstood and misinterpreted, and it does not make sense to require a bicyclist to merge onto the roadway when the wide shoulder of the busy county road becomes a right turn lane. I ask members' support. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Bernardi. Chair Hornstein.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Chair Bernardi. This is good policy. As you mentioned, it's been widely accepted over the years, and it's been part of our bills. So I support it being added to this bill and would ask for a yes vote on the A21.
Is there any further comment to the A21 amendment? Seeing none, we can do this one as a voice vote. So if you could please unmute. Representative Connie, did you want, or Representative Bernardi, sorry, did you want to make any closing comments?
No, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Thanks. All right. So all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. The motion prevails and the A21 amendment is adopted. Moving on to the A22, Representative Elkins, did you want to offer the A22 amendment?
I would, Madam Chair.
Please tell us about the A22.
So this is an add-on to the independent expert review portion of the bill. In discussions with the deputy registrar organizations since the report was issued, we've discovered that the cost of procuring the necessary eye exam machines and cameras, which can be up to $15,000, is a significant financial barrier to deputy registrar stations who are currently limited status and would like to move to full status. So one of the key objectives of the report is that we need more full-service deputy registrar offices in order to handle the volume of especially real ID applications that are being requested. So this amendment would allow DVS out of one of its driver's license accounts to reimburse those deputy registrars who wish to make the conversion from limited service to full service this year only to be reimbursed for that expense.
Thank you, Representative Elkins. Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, and to Mr. Chair or to Representative Elkins. Will this change the bottom line of the dollars that we have as a, I guess you call it the working target?
Representative Petersburg, thanks for the promotion there. Representative Elkins.
Madam Chair, Representative Petersburg. So this draws from an existing DVS account, so it's not an additional appropriation. It's just allowing DVS to dip into one of their existing funds.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you. Thank you for the clarification.
And I actually see both Mr. Burris and Mr. Lee have turned on their videos, so I would imagine they have something to say about this. Mr. Lee.
Madam Chair and members, I just wanted to point on the amendment. This would increase the appropriation out of the special
yes.
Request fund line 1.3, so it's an additional appropriation. And
corrected.
For background information, this is out of the Driver Services Special Revenue Fund. After this appropriations and the appropriations that are currently in the DE amendment, there would be a balance over and above the reserve policy of that fund of $1.448 million and a total balance of $12.5 million.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. Mr. Burris, anything to add?
Madam Chair, no. Mr. Lee covered it.
Thank you. Representative Petersburg?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I'll correct it later. But I appreciate that because I did think that was going to do something with their funds. So apparently it just is going to be taking funds out of a reserve account, which will diminish that account into future. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Chair Hornstein.
That's it. Thank you, Madam Chair. I do support this amendment.
I have a 4-3 one.
Representative Murphy, if you can mute.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I support the amendment. Appreciate Representative Elkins bringing it forward.
All right. Representative Elkins, any final thoughts?
Nothing further to add.
All right. Well, this one we can do a voice vote. So if everybody could unmute. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, please say no.
No. No.
The motion prevails and the A22 is adopted. Next up is the A23. Representative Petersburg, would you like to offer this amendment?
Yes, Madam Chair, I can offer this amendment. This amendment actually is a kind of a technical correction, but it also is a clarification. Last minute working out with the towing companies, it relates to the bill that we heard in committee in regards to people that are indigent, homeless, et cetera, that have their cars towed and would like to get their property back. All this does is it clarifies that they have up to 1 year after impoundment rather than destruction of the property. And it clarifies that the owner of the vehicle or the towing company would be able to retrieve the material out of their car. Otherwise, this finishes the peace in the valley. Everybody has signed off on it, and this would finish that particular area.
Thank you, Representative Petersburg. Representative Hornstein?
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, and I want to thank Representative Petersburg for his work on this. This is really, really important. It's going to really help people, and also your work with all the different parties involved is very helpful, and I would encourage everyone to vote yes on this Petersburg amendment.
Is there any further discussion to the A23? Representative Petersburg, final thoughts?
Just thank you for your support. Please vote yes.
All right. This one is a voice vote, so if everybody could please unmute. All those in favor of the A23, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. The motion prevails and the A23 is adopted. Representative Petersburg, looks like you're up again. Would you like to offer the A27? Does anybody want to claim the A27?
Madam Chair, that is me. Sorry about that. I was daydreaming. I thought you were on 20, on a different one. Sorry about that. And I would like to move the A27 bill. Amendment, excuse me.
Amendment sounds good. Could you please offer the A27, or please describe the A27 amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I would like to request a roll call on this one.
So
as I was reading through the bill, and this refers to the Road Usage Charge Task Force, and it revolves around what I think is a really great idea to figure out how are we going to start charging for equality, equity in regards to how we charge people user fees and how we get our funding for roads and bridges, and especially in electrical vehicles where we don't have a taxable ability to do that this time. However, as I was looking at the makeup of the task force, kind of a shudder came down my back, and I would refer to Chair Hornstein and Representative Elkins in a task force that the two of you and I shared time together all summer, this past summer, in which we had three members of each body on the task force, and then numerous numbers of people from other agencies on the task force. And the legislature really had a hard time getting across the needs of the legislature versus the needs of the agencies. And it's not that the agency information wasn't important or valuable, but the fact is that that task force, which was the Dedicated Funds Transfer Task Force, and this task force is really designed to be a implement and a help for the legislature. And so the legislature needs to have some direction and control over this. And so, whereas I think the people that are listed in the bill to be on this, to have input into this task force is valid, I'm not sure they should be voting members of the task force. And so basically what this amendment does is that it keeps the voting members of the task force to the two members of the House, two members of the Senate, one member from DBS, and one member from the Department of Transportation as the actual members of the task force. And the others become valuable resources through a subcommittee of this task force in order to be able to give information to them. I think it's going to be much more manageable. Trying to have a consensus of 17, 18, 20 people is much more difficult to do. And so as I thought about that, I think that's a much better way to deal with this task force. And so I'm hoping it gets a favorable response here because we need to make it manageable so we actually can come with a recommendation at the end of the day. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Petersburg. Chair Hornstein.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Petersburg. And I know of which you speak when we were talking about the previous task force. But I think this is a little different because we're really asking a variety of different folks that have a real stake in this new idea, this road fee. And we brought in people that had concerns about this, quite frankly. And I think their voices are really important. And so this is, I think you point out correctly, Representative Petersburg, that yes, it's advisory in nature, but I do feel that all of these voices are important and should have equal say in developing this policy. So it's a little bit of apples and oranges. I mean, I understand where you're coming from with the highway user distribution task force, but you know, that was, there were a lot of agency folks and in the mix, but here we're really broadening it to have a number of community stakeholders, and I think that's where it's a little bit different. And I like the fact that we brought in, again, people that have some concerns about this, as well as supporters and agencies. It's very diverse, and I think will really help us along in terms of a good response to this. So I would ask for a no vote on this amendment.
Is there any further discussion to the A27? Representative Petersburg?
Thank you again, Madam Chair. That's one of these areas where I think we're going to disagree a little bit on the effectiveness of the task force, because if we don't have enough direction from somebody that is going to have to implement whatever they say, we can get sidetracked very easily with this task force. And so I have great concerns that the recommendations of the task force are going to come back to us that are not going to be truly bipartisan or able to pass legislature. So that has concern to me, and I would rather us move forward quicker rather than slower. But if that's the will of this committee, we'll go slower. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Petersburg. Seeing no further discussion to the A27, I will ask Mr. Dodge to take the roll, and the chair votes no.
Daigle, nay. Representative Hornstein.
Hornstein, no.
Hornstein, nay. Representative Petersburg.
Petersburg, aye.
Petersburg, aye. Representative Barr.
All right.
Barr, aye. Representative Bernardi.
Bernardi, nay.
Bernardi, nay. Representative Elkins.
Elkins, nay.
Elkins, nay. Representative Frederick.
Nay.
Frederick, nay. Representative Houseman.
Houseman, no.
Houseman, nay. Representative Heinrich.
Heinrich, aye.
Heinrich, aye. Representative Kosnick.
Kosnick, aye.
Kosnick, aye. Representative Mason.
Mason, no.
Mason, nay. Representative Murphy.
Nay.
Murphy, nay. Representative Nelson.
Nay.
Nelson, nay. Representative Olson.
Olson, yes.
Olson, aye. Representative Richardson.
No.
Richardson, nay. Representative Torkelson.
Torkelson, aye.
Torkelson, aye. Representative West.
West, aye.
West, aye. There are 7 ayes and 10 nays.
With 7 ayes and 10 nays, the motion does not prevail, and the A27 is not adopted. Next up is the A28. Representative Petersburg, would you like to offer this amendment?
Yes, I would, Madam Chair, and I would like to ask for a roll call on this one as well. So this amendment has to do with the allocation for the federal dollar local assistance program funds that were created in order to have the funding and matching dollars for some of the IIJA and other federal programs. And this amendment changes some of the parameters around categories, but primarily my concern had to do with the allocation of categories and the percentages spent on various things. My biggest issue is that the original bill put 67% on a flexible basis that has no parameters on it at all. So that means 67% of the funds that are appropriated through this portion of the bill could be used on a single subject somewhere else. And I have real concerns that the legislature doesn't have a little bit more authority or oversight over some of those funds. So this particular amendment, and I know that you're going to have disagreement on the percentages, but it really puts 20% then of these funds for local roads, 20% for bridges, 7% for transit projects, 15% for freight rail projects, 10% for ports, 10% for small airports, keeps the 3% for electric vehicle infrastructure, and then that leaves the 15% for the flexible basis for moving it forward. I just think we should have a little bit more direction rather than giving too much discretion to the agencies and those that will be funding this. And so that's my amendment, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Petersburg. And I'd like to speak to the A28 as well. So I think I'm actually more amenable to the changes in the allocation splits. The piece that concerns me is the project evaluation criteria. When we were looking at the project evaluation criteria, we really tried to not only put forward our vision and values for Minnesota and when it comes to our transportation system, but also tried to align it a lot with what the federal IIJA bill, their discretionary funding in that actual piece of legislation, so that we could really try and mirror the federal bill, as well as put some sort of vision and values into this piece of legislation. So we wanted to make sure that we're reducing our vehicle miles traveled, that we're looking at, decreasing our carbon emissions, looking at equity. And I think a lot of that project evaluation could fit in within the allocation splits. And so I'm more amenable to the allocation splits. Really, my concern with this amendment is the project evaluation criteria. And so I think there's more work to be done on this. So Chair Hornstein.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And first of all, Madam Chair, I want to thank you for all of your hard work really since November when this federal bipartisan infrastructure bill was passed, known as IIJA. You have rolled up your sleeves. You have attended national Zoom calls. You've engaged with MnDOT and the MEC Council and others who have us, the Transportation Alliance, many people that have a real stake in this issue. And you've done just an incredible job of really bringing forward this part of the bill that Representative Petersburg is attempting to amend. And I do feel it's the most important part of our bill, and I'll talk to that towards the end. But members, I'm going to ask for a no vote here. Vice Chair Cagle had mentioned climate, and I just want to touch on that briefly. We have this very week, we have yet another report from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. This is the authoritative international scientific entity that has been issuing warnings for many years. And this time it's even more dire. They're telling us, and again, this is a report released just last week, without swift action on climate, we are headed for some real, real trouble. And it's just a matter of years that we have to get it right. And we continue to not take this issue on an international and even national policy basis as seriously as we must. I know at the federal level, there is progress. There needs to be a lot more progress. We were not able to pass the important climate provisions in the Build Back Better Act. Hopefully, some of that work can still happen at the federal level. But there are important climate provisions in IIJA. And so I think this is a very inopportune time to be deleting this very critical part of the bill. And Representative Petersburg, the types of traditional kinds of transportation criteria that you list in your amendment, I mean, those are important. They are not mutually exclusive of the issues that we're trying to deal with in addition to those. Of course, commerce, economic vitality, connectivity, those are things that we have in our bill, that we take seriously in our bill. The 67% flex account will address those questions, but we do really need to have some language in this bill that Vice Chair Cagle has included that addresses our climate emergency, that looks at some of the urgent issues around equity. This is a critical, critical part of the bill. And, you know, when you look at, again, just I'll say it one last time, we are in a crisis. We are in a climate emergency. Transportation is the number one source of greenhouse gas emissions, and it's growing. So we need to address that issue in this bill, and I strongly oppose deleting the language around climate, and that's why I'm going to ask for a no vote.
Any further discussion to the A28, Representative Petersburg?
Thank you, and thank you, Madam Chair, and I certainly hear you, Representative and Chair Hornstein. It is a concern to all of us that we should be doing what we can. However, I also look at the levels of work that we're doing here and in the United Kingdom and others, when China now has surpassed all of us put together in their carbon emissions, and we don't do anything internationally. I have some concerns when we have dollars coming to us for an Infrastructure and Jobs Act to not address some of those needs specifically for the infrastructure needs that we have here. And oftentimes we get confused on what we should be doing environmentally with what we should be doing with the others. Sometimes they can be combined, and sometimes they need to be exclusively separate. In this case, I think they need to be different, and we need to deal with it in a different way. That's just my perception and my perspective. But I certainly do hear you that we want to maintain continued energy conservation and emission control and all those things. And as we do better in other things, even if we continue to reduce our emissions by vehicles, the percentage of what's going into the air could still be higher in roads and bridges. That doesn't necessarily mean that we're actually growing more that way, but that's another debate for another time. I just would ask you to consider the support, and at least in the future, consider breaking down that 67% into more specific areas. But thank you, Madam Chair and Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Petersburg. Seeing no further discussion, Mr. Dodge will take the roll. Chair votes no.
Cagle, nay. Representative Hornstein.
Hornstein, no.
Hornstein, nay. Representative Petersburg.
Petersburg, aye.
Petersburg, aye. Representative Barr.
Barr, aye.
Barr, aye. Representative Bernardi.
Bernardi, nay.
Bernardi, nay. Representative Elkins.
Elkins, nay.
Elkins, nay. Representative Frederick.
Frederick, no.
Frederick, nay. Representative Hausman.
Hausman, no.
Hausman, nay. Representative Heinrich.
Heinrich, aye.
Heinrich, aye. Representative Kosnick.
Kosnick, aye.
Kosnick, aye. Representative Mason.
Mason, no.
Mason, nay. Representative Murphy.
Murphy, no.
Murphy, nay. Representative Nelson.
Nay.
Nelson, nay. Representative Olson.
Olson, yes.
Olson, aye. Representative Richardson.
No.
Richardson, nay. Representative Torkelson.
Torkelson, aye.
Torkelson, aye. Representative West.
West, aye.
West, aye. There are 7 ayes and 10 nays.
With With 7 ayes and 10 nays, the motion does not prevail, and the A28 is not adopted. Next, we have the A29. Representative Elkins, would you like to move that A29?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would.
Please tell us about the A29.
Yes, this is a reprise of Representative Becker Finn's very limited bill that would give Ramsey County some discretion to set lower speed limits on a handful of roads that are in residential and parkway context within the within suburban Ramsey County. And, since the bill was first heard in committee, I've had a chance to follow up with her and do some additional research on my own. There are really two road segments, one of which is in her district along Victoria Avenue between Avenues B and E. This is a two-lane road in a residential neighborhood. It has no sidewalks, and it currently has a speed limit of 40 miles per hour. And this is where the constituent who testified, or his family testified when the bill was first heard, was injured. The second one was mentioned during that hearing is Raymond Avenue between University Avenue and Como Avenue. It's used as a two-lane road, used as a back door to get to the University of Minnesota's Ag School and the State Fair. In this case, people don't speed on it because it was designed for speeding. They speed on it because they're in a hurry to get to one of those two destinations. If this were a city street rather than a county road, and, their designation is county roads on both of these occasions, looking at the Ramsey County road map looks like kind of a fluke to me anyway. No one would really question the appropriateness of reducing the speed limits on these two road segments. As part of the Traffic Safety Council that we're forming as part of our larger bill, these are the kinds of issues that I think need to be discussed in that context in terms of a more broad application. And I have already personally committed to the traffic engineer professional organizations that I'm willing to work with them on a broader solution to this issue. There are apparently changes coming to the state's, the federal and the state's manual on uniform traffic control devices and their approach to this issue. MnDOT has been working on for an extended period of time on a speed limit study. But in the meantime, I think that this limited discretion for Ramsey County for these roads is appropriate as a temporary solution.
Representative Elkins, Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First, I'd like to request a roll call for this amendment, and then I would like to speak against it. I think it's a poor policy decision to start moving some of these piecemeal speed limit things through. I know we did it last year, but as you heard Representative Elkins say, this is exactly what this safety council or safety task force is supposed to be reviewing. I think we're premature when we start adding this here. We are hearing from various counties who are very concerned about how roads run from one county into the next and not having consistent roads and speeds, and the department has a fairly extensive program on determining what is the proper speed for roads and others. And I believe that their expertise outweighs the knowledge of the county commissioners and others. Even if they were to listen to their engineers may or may not have expertise in that area. So I would certainly recommend a no vote on this particular amendment. And let the Safety Council come back with a broad policy, if we want to, that would cover the entire state rather than piecemealing it all the time. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Petersburg. Representative Hornstein, you're muted.
Oops. Sorry about that. Thank you, Madam Chair. I thought the hearing we had on this was quite compelling. And there was an individual county commissioner, for I believe from that area, that testified in support. We had members of the public from that area. Because this is such a limited, the original bill was much more expansive. I appreciate that the author, Chair Becker Finn, has made this a much more limited bill, and for that reason, I support it. This is very much in keeping with our deep concerns about speeding and traffic safety, and I hope that, you know, again, moving forward, we can have a more broader and expansive discussion. But for this particular stretch of road and this particular area, I think it's appropriate, and I would ask for a yes vote.
Thank you, Chair Hornstein. Representative Elkins?
Nothing further to add, Madam Chair.
All right. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Mr. Dodge will take the roll. Chair votes aye.
Cagle, aye. Representative Hornstein.
Hornstein, aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Petersburg.
Petersburg, no.
Petersburg, nay. Representative Barr.
Barr, no.
Barr, nay. Representative Bernardi.
Bernardi, aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Elkins.
Elkins, aye.
Elkins, aye. Representative Frederick. Representative Frederick. Representative Hausman.
Hausman, aye.
Hausman, aye. Representative Heinrich.
Heinrich, no.
Heinrich, nay. Representative Kosnick.
No.
Kosnick, nay. Representative Mason.
Mason.
Representative.
I'm sorry. Aye.
Representative Mason, can you repeat yourself?
Pardon?
Mason, aye. Representative Murphy.
Murphy, aye.
Murphy, aye. Representative Nelson.
Nelson, aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Olson.
Olson, no.
Olson, nay. Representative Richardson.
Aye.
Richardson, aye. Representative Torkelson.
Torkelson, no.
Torkelson, nay. Representative West.
West, no.
West, nay. There are 9 ayes and 7 nays.
There being 9 ayes and 7 nays, the motion prevails and the A-29 is adopted. Next up, we have the A-30. Representative Frederick, would you like to offer your A-30?
Thank you, Madam Chair. We've already talked about the Traffic Safety Advisory Council, and what this amendment looks to do is just make sure that all the right voices are at that proverbial table. And so it would add one county engineer to that because they bring their own unique perspective to the issue, and I just want to make sure that they're included.
Thank you, Representative Frederick. Chair Hornstein?
Thank you. Madam Chair, I support this amendment. It would encourage a yes vote.
Any further discussion to the A-30, Representative Kosnick?
I'll withdraw my question. Thank you, though.
Okay. Any further discussion to the A-30? Any final comments, Representative Frederick?
All right. I just hope to have members' support. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. With that, this one is a voice vote, so if everybody could just please unmute. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed? The motion prevails and the A-30 is adopted. All right, next up we have the A-31. Representative Barr, would you please move the A-31?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to move the A-31, please.
Please tell us about your amendment.
This is similar to the A-3 that we debated earlier during committee hearing on the vehicle charging stations in rest areas. It was there was a few things. One, public-private partnership, which this actually allows for. The public's providing the the area, the place, the physical location, and the private will be permitted by MnDOT to actually provide the service, much like vending machines. When we had the walkthrough, Mr. Burris mentioned that the way the language is now, that it would allow for MnDOT to actually build these. MnDOT testified in the committee hearing that they did not want to actually build these. They want them there, but they don't want to actually be responsible for them. And that's what this amendment does, is just clarifies that MnDOT is allowing the placement of electric vehicle charging stations on public property, and that they will not be maintaining them, that the private sector will be maintaining these.
Thank you, Representative Barr. Chair Hornstein?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thanks, Representative Barr, for that explanation. It has on the amendment in the first line, 1.4, about permit issuance. I just don't think that maybe issuing a permit is necessary for a successful public-private partnership, and therefore I would oppose this amendment.
Any further discussion to the A31? Representative Barr?
Yes, Madam Chair. Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Chair, we'll be talking so that I can get my floor amendment actually put together in a manner that's acceptable to the chair. We'll fix the permit language so this will be ready for the floor. Thank you.
Thank you. So seeing no further discussion to the A31, if people could just unmute themselves. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, please say no. No.
No.
No.
Motion does not.
I had that during Mincher when they're pointing at the Mincher. So
Representative Petersburg, if you could mute yourself. The motion does not prevail, and the A31 is not adopted. Next, we will take up the A32, and this one is Chair Hornstein. Did you want to offer this amendment?
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm offering this on the provision that came to us from Representative Hansen, Chair Hansen from the Environment Committee. You'll recall we had a hearing on this Highways for Habitat program. After the hearing, MnDOT expressed several different concerns, and so I felt it was important to at least address in whole or in part some of those concerns. So the areas that we're addressing here are clarifying the discretion on MnDOT related to signage where appropriate. It includes a habitat as a purpose, but not overriding other highway purposes. And it clarifies wildflower and native vegetation establishment rather than propagation. So MnDOT doesn't have to go and harvest seeds, et cetera. So those were some concerns that MnDOT raised. And I'll just say, for my part, I think this is an excellent program. There is a lot of habitat and a lot of benefit to both the environment and the public and highway users for this kind of approach. And, as Representative Hansen said, this is part of the national infrastructure effort. So with that, members, I would ask for a yes vote on the A32.
Thank you, Chair Hornstein. Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just request a roll call on this amendment, please, and just say that I think we had some other issues that we talked about in committee, and I won't share them. I'll let others talk to the concerns, but I would request a roll call.
You got it. Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just getting my buttons pressed. Sorry about that. Madam Chair and members, I think I have a number of issues with this particular legislation, many of which we discussed in committee. But I think what concerns me more is the path this bill, that this amendment has taken, and how it's gotten into our transportation bill without any other stops in the legislature. There's very little doubt that this, in my mind anyway, I realize others see it differently. There's no doubt in my mind that this bill should have been heard, at least in environment and probably in agriculture too, because it certainly is related to both of those topic areas. I realize chairs around here have a lot of influence and power to kind of do whatever they see fit. And I guess I'm still a little sore after what happened on the House floor today when the farm in DFL was totally ignored. I don't know how the opposition can call themselves DFL when actions such as those taken today are taken, and when bills like this are added to omnibus bills without the proper hearings being held. Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
Thank you, Representative Torkelson. Is there any further discussion to the A32? Representative Krasnick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And it being an amendment, I don't have the information from committee. What was the cost or the financial implications of this, if either staff or the author would know?
Chair Hornstein?
This is $1 million one-time general fund appropriation. Sorry, Madam Chair and Representative Krasnick. It's a $1 million general fund.
Representative Krasnick?
Thank you. Appreciate the answer, Representative Chair Hornstein. And it's a little rich for my blood.
Any further discussion to the A32? Chair Hornstein?
Thank you, members. I ask for your support and a yes vote.
All right. Seeing no further discussion, Mr. Dodge, can you take the roll? And the chair votes aye.
Dingell, aye. Representative Hornstein.
Hornstein, aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Petersburg.
Petersburg, no.
Petersburg, nay. Representative Barr.
Barr, no.
Barr, nay. Representative Bernardi.
Bernardi, aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Elkins.
Elkins, aye.
Elkins, aye. Representative Frederick.
Frederick, aye.
Frederick, aye. Representative Hausman.
Hausman, aye.
Hausman, aye. Representative Heinrich.
Heinrich, no.
Heinrich, nay. Representative Krasnick.
No.
Krasnick, nay. Representative Mason. Representative
Pass.
Mason.
Just
Representative Murphy.
Yes.
Murphy, aye. Representative Nelson.
Nelson, aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative
Wilson, no.
Wilson, no. Representative Richardson.
Aye.
Richardson, aye. Representative Torkelson.
Torkelson, no.
Yeah, no.
Torkelson, nay. Representative West.
West, no.
West, nay. There are 9 ayes and 7 nays.
With 9 ayes and 7 nays.
Mason votes aye. Oh. Did you?
Sorry. With 10 ayes and 7 nays, the motion prevails and the A32 is adopted. Next up, we have the A33. Representative Bernardi, would you like to move the A33?
So moved.
Great. Can you please tell us about your amendment?
Madam Chair and members, I'm pleased to introduce the A33 amendment on work zone safety, co-authored by Representative Petersburg and myself. We wish to keep the discussion on safety and speed reduction in work zones moving forward. While progress has been made the past 4 years, there are still unanswered questions. The next best step is for MnDOT and DPS to continue their collaborative work that brought us the report we heard about last week. Work zone speed management study of February 2022. The report stated that the Work Zone Speed Management Task Force recommended a pilot project for speed safety cameras to assess the effectiveness within work zones on Minnesota State Highway System. MnDOT and DPS agree that the proposed demonstration project would be a worthwhile endeavor. The Minnesota State Patrol is open to the idea, depending on the parameters and support for the endeavor. Furthermore, the Minnesota State Patrol recognizes that work zones create extraordinary challenges to traditional enforcement methods for a variety of reasons. The agencies believe that the speed safety cameras would be one of the most effective methods to manage speeds in work zones discussed in this study, and that was in the report.
Therefore, the amendment before you changes the dynamic so that the agencies themselves take the lead, sit down and collaborate to bring forward an implementation plan for this body to consider, rather than having this responsibility fall on workers and advocates interested in saving lives and reducing speed. I'll turn it over to Representative Petersburg, the co-author of this amendment, to make comments.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do speak in favor of this amendment. We are all concerned about safety, and we know that this past couple years, speed has been a factor in regards to fatalities and other poor behaviors. And so when we talk about safety zones and work zones, I think it's important for us to not just drop the ball or stop the process. We weren't able to get it into the omnibus bill this year, but I think the task force information that has come is worthy of further development. And this amendment simply asks the Department of Transportation and the Department of Public Safety to continue working on some recommendations to bring to this body and to the Senate for our consideration. So there's no mandates here. There's nothing that requires them to implement anything other than giving us some recommendations for us to review next year. And I think that's a worthy goal for us to have more information when we decide to implement the policy from the legislature. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Petersburg. Chair Hornstein, you're muted.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I support this amendment. Ask for a yes vote. Appreciate the collaboration between you, Chair Bernardi, and Lead Petersburg.
Thank you. Chair Bernardi, any final comments?
No, thank you, Madam Chair. I encourage members to vote yes.
All right. So seeing no further comments, this is a voice vote. So if everybody could unmute, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no.
No.
The motion prevails and the A33 is adopted. Next up, we have the A36. This is Representative Petersburg. Would you like to offer the A36?
Yes, Madam Chair. This one is an addition to the new safety council. So the railroad department actually has a national program nonprofit called Operation Lifesaver, and there's a Minnesota chapter, and they deal with safety in regards to railroad crossings and other things that where there is interaction between pedestrians and people and roads and stuff and railroads, and it just seems like that should be one of the members of the safety task force, and I know that I have been approached by John Abbott's from railroad industry as well, saying that this really would be a good place for them to have some input. And so I am requesting a yes vote on this particular amendment to add that person to the safety council. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Petersburg. Chair Hornstein.
I support this member's a very important addition to the task force. Appreciate your bringing this forward, Representative Petersburg. Please vote yes.
Thank you, Representative Kosnick.
Question for the author of the amendment.
Representative Petersburg.
Sure.
Representative Petersburg, were you railroaded into offering this amendment?
Representative Petersburg.
Well, at least I'm not off the rails, so.
Madam Chair, that's questionable sometimes.
I'm often surprised there's not more transportation funds that we use in this committee, so maybe we can step up a little bit. All right. Any further discussion to the A36? Seeing none, we can do this one as a voice vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, please say no. The motion prevails and the A36 is adopted. Next, we have the A37. Representative Olson, would you like to move the A37?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. So, like before, when we talking about these amendments, I've got a little amount of heartburn with the idea of creating a government program to supplement and fix another government program that's not doing its job. I think that only government would ever come up with this idea as a solution to a problem. And to, you know, what this amendment would do is just, they can have their counsel, you can have people, but I think that it should be paid for off of something else, potentially from the Towards Zero Deaths initiative itself, because I'm on their website and I do recognize that, as they say, 501 deaths on Minnesota roads last year is far too many. They also say that the Towards Zero Death program is currently undergoing a review of how we might do things differently. We've already reviewed the program's overall priorities and implementation strategies. Now we are looking at how the program is structured. So there you have it, members. The program is doing exactly what they should be doing. They recognize that there is a problem. They recognize that they need to do something about that problem, and they're working towards that goal of fixing the problem. I do not think it would be a great usage of government funds to create another program to fix the program that is trying to fix itself. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Olson. Representative Hornstein? Mr. Hornstein?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll just simply say that these are complementary programs. It's not, I would just take issue with, you know, that this is supplanting somehow. You know, we have the support, encouragement initiative of the Office of Traffic Safety. They view this as very important to adding new voices, not just public sector or government voices. We have voices from the private sector, from nonprofits, a wide variety, now the railroads. This is actually a very diverse, very significant, important development to open the doors of government rather than limit government. And this advisory committee also has an appropriation so that it can get to work in terms of determining funding for educational programs, possibly even recommendations for infrastructure investments, better enforcement policies. I mean, this is a very, very significant step forward. And it is, in fact, a needed and necessary response to a crisis that we are in. It should not be business as usual. We need to open the doors of government to more voices and appropriate money so we can deal with the fact that 502 people have been killed on Minnesota highways. And so therefore, I think that there is the need for some administrative help. These things don't just happen. I don't anticipate this being staff heavy, but it's leadership heavy. And we have a lot of great leaders that are now a part of this task force and a part of this conversation. And so that is why I think it's important, and I would ask for a no vote on the amendment.
Representative Olson.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Whereas I don't disagree with the fact that we need to be having these conversations, safety on our streets is incredibly important. But what I would caution is that I don't believe that there is ever a time where a government agency would say, oh no, we have enough money, or we don't need more, or if they're running into a crisis or a situation like this where they say, if we only had more money, then we could actually do this job. I think it's important to understand that government programs will never ask for less money. That's not what they do. That's not how it's designed. And so we need to be the responsible ones to say, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing here. That's great. I'm glad that you're revamping your program that we established in 2003. Go for it and let us know with your report how we can help you, as opposed to just throwing more money at a problem. I think that's maybe that's just the fact that I've only been here a couple of years. Hopefully, Lord willing, if I stay here a little bit longer, I won't consistently just look at it and say, oh, well, government needs more money, so let's give it to them. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Olson. I'm not seeing any further discussion on the A37. This will be a voice vote as well. So if you could unmute all those in favor of the A37, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. No.
No.
No. The motion does not prevail, and the A37 is not adopted. Next up, we have the A22-0416, which is, I believe, Representative Barr's amendment. Would you like to move your amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. We're down to the last two. I will try and be succinct as possible. This is a one-word change, goes from 17% to 5%, and this is in the corridors of commerce. We have heard numerous times how important the corridors of commerce is, and I would like to take 12% of that admin fee and put it back into actually building highways.
Thank you, Representative Barr. Representative Hornstein? Chair Hornstein?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would oppose this amendment. I think that this would potentially throw some pretty big wrenches into the Corridors of Commerce program, particularly in what I think is critical, which is the program delivery piece. You know, staff is needed, district staff and time. You know, these projects don't just happen. And I think this is a reasonable administrative cost that, you know, is there to administer this program. So I think that we could really be putting some projects at risk, or certainly delay, if we're starting, because it's basically what we're doing is cutting staff by doing this. And we need those engineers, and we need those planners, and we need those public sector employees at MnDOT to help implement this critical program. And I'll just say, you know, and I have some comments here momentarily, that, you know, the legislation that Representative Torkelson that we've included in this bill, I think, really helps this program. It really moves it forward. So, you know, we're on the cusp of some better things from the Corridors of Commerce program, and this wouldn't be an opportune time to cut the staff. So with that, members, I'd ask for a no vote.
Thank you, Chair Hornstein. Any further discussion? Representative Barr?
I would only add that 17% is one of the heaviest administrative fees taken out of any of the programs I've seen at the Capitol so far. It's usually, you know, 5, 6, 3. Never. I think this is one of the rare few that's actually in double digits. So that's my closing comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Barr. Seeing no further discussion, again, this is a voice vote, so if you could unmute yourself. All those in favor of the A2-0416, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, please say no.
No.
Motion does not prevail, and the A22-0416 is not adopted. Next up, this is on you again, Representative Barr, the A22-0417.
17, yes. Thank you, Madam Chair, and we'll go through this last one really quickly here as well. This amendment is removing the digital driver's license. It retains the digital title piece. But as far as digital licensing, that removes all of the language from digital licensing out of the bill.
Thank you, Representative Barr. Chair Hornstein.
Thank you, Madam Chair Representative Barr. You know, I have to say, there's a part of me that is very, very empathic towards what you're trying to do. I am not the type of person that's built for the digital age. I think people who know me well know that. But I what I will say is, so the whole Zoom thing has been it's been a challenge for me. But needless to say, not my preferences matter here. But what we're doing here is simply a report. And I think there certainly are concerns around privacy, and we heard some testimony around that. But I would just caution that I believe this is coming from Rick King's independent expert review report. He's looking at other states that are implementing this or moving towards it. Again, we'll have to have that debate if it comes to it. We're simply gathering information, asking for a report, and so I don't see an issue here, although, you know, Representative Barr, I do I do understand your concerns, but since this is just a report that we're not moving towards this, that there's a long, long, long way to go. It may be convenient for some people that are a little bit more technologically savvy than I am. And so it's worth considering, but we're a long way from implementing this. We'll have a report. We'll have a real chance to dig into it and debate it. So therefore, I'd ask for a no vote on the amendment, although I have some sympathy for it.
All right.
It's a friendly no.
A friendly no. any further discussion? Representative Marr?
Just a closing comment that Representative Hornstein and I will share the angst over having digital anything. The Zoom thing has been quite a challenge all the way around. I'm not necessarily technologically savvy myself, but I do have great concerns around how a digital driver's license, when I carry my cell phone, could be used to track. The government could very easily use that to track. We track entirely too many things now in the digital age that I don't believe we should. Our privacy is nowhere close to being private anymore. So that's where I have my concerns. And yes, this is just a report, but this is kind of like any great journey begins with a first step. And this is that first step. And I think that we shouldn't even begin that journey. I believe that privacy is entirely too important to start the journey. So maybe we should save that first step for something else. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Barr. Seeing no further discussion to the A22-0417, we can take a voice vote on this one as well. So if everybody could unmute. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, please say no.
No.
Motion does not prevail and the A22-0417 is not adopted. So now we move to the DE1 as amended. Is there further discussion to the DE1 as amended? Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Chair Hornstein, for bringing this bill forward. I'm going to be a friendly no, but I won't highlight a lot of things in the bill. There's some good things, there's some bad things. I will thank the chair for including the language that I introduced regarding corridors of commerce. It's been pretty carefully assembled, and not just from my own thoughts, but from input from a variety of sources. And I have high hopes that the chair can prevail in conference committee on that particular item and get it across the finish line. I have great confidence in his abilities to negotiate. And beyond that, I'm still quite concerned about the situation we've found ourselves in regarding the additional revenue from sales tax. With that being housed over in the tax committee, I'm a little concerned that it may have a difficult path coming back into our transportation bill, but I trust that that path has been laid out and will be clear as we move forward in the rest of this session and get to conference committee. Thanks to everyone for their hard work on this transportation bill, especially to our lead Petersburg. Thank you, everyone, and have a great holiday break.
Thank you, Representative Torkelson. Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'd like to be the last, if there are others, just before Mr. Chair, if there are other discussions. Otherwise, I will give my comments now. All right. Thank you. I appreciate that. And Mr. Chair, I want to thank you for our collaboration, for your willingness to touch base with me and to listen to some of my concerns as well. I think we have a great working relationship. We disagree on some things, but friendly. Understanding that our perspectives come from different areas doesn't make our beliefs any less valid. It just means that we need to still work through certain things. So I'm not going to talk a lot about some of the concerns we have in the bill. I think our amendments, and other members on our side have kind of shared them with the amendments that we've brought forth. And so we have a concern. Representative Torkelson, I think, brought up something that is of also great concern to me, and that is the auto parts sales tax. I just recently heard that the tax committee has passed out their tax bill, and the auto parts sales tax is not in it. So that kind of leaves us to where exactly is that going to end up? It's obviously in the Senate tax transportation bill. Maybe it's going to go by itself, but we're approaching deadline to get it out of committee. So I'm afraid that it could be dead this year, which is a great concern because we had the opportunity, especially with the surplus, in order to be able to get some of the general fund dollars out of general fund and into transportation. And I think we're losing an opportunity to do that. So I don't know what the pathway is at this time, but I am very concerned about that as well. Just the overall process, which I know, Mr. Chair, you didn't have an awful lot of ability to change that, but not having targets and not having a lot of ability for us to have input, it is concerning. It really makes not only our job as minority trying to figure out what we can do and can't do, it makes your job tougher as well. And so I appreciate the heartache and the headache that you had to go through in getting this done. But you also had great staff and great members on your team as well. Representative Cagle has done a lot of work, and Representative Elkins has done a lot of work. Our side as well, of course, Joe Marble has been a great help here. Also, there are some good things in this bill. I think the revamping of corridors that Representative Tarkelson has done has been very good, and I think it's encapsulated a lot of work, a lot of people being involved with it. There are some additional funding sources for small cities and others, whereas we would disagree on maybe how much it should have been, but we think it's okay. But there are just an awful lot of things to be concerned with, areas where it went too far, areas where it didn't go far enough, et cetera. I will be like Representative Tarkelson, a very apologetic no, kind of. I wish I had more in this bill that I could support at this time. I do think that it's going to be a real struggle to get this out of conference committee, especially when we're joined in with others. It's going to make it almost impossible. And that saddens me because the work that we have done could go for naught. But I will stay optimistic, and we'll do whatever I can to help you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for your work, but I will unable to support it at this time. Thank you.
Well, members, we are on the DE, and we can do the DE as a voice vote.
Representative Hausman is hand is up.
Representative Hausman.
Madam Chair, that was just the point I was going to make. That we're on the DE. That can be done by voice vote, and then it would be roll call for the final passage. Just wanted to clarify that. Thank you.
Thank you. So with that, we can, if you all want to unmute, and we, unless Representative Hornstein, did you have any final comments?
Well, yeah, this is sort of the
sorry, time to make. I kind of messed up the order here. Sorry about
that's
that.
That's okay. If this is the time we want to make some brief concluding remarks, I'll do that now. And first of all, first and foremost, I want to thank all the members of this committee. This is sort of, we will have a few informational hearings coming up at the end of April, but this is really our last official meeting of the biennium. And I've really enjoyed working with each and every one of you. Everyone has made such a great contribution on both sides of the aisle to this committee, and we've had some wonderful discussions. And particularly Representative Petersburg, I've really appreciated our working relationship and partnership and frequent communication. I think that really helps us work through issues and make sure there's a very smoothly running committee. So a big thank you to you, Lead Petersburg. And then the other huge set of thank yous, really, I mean, our staff is incredible. I mean, we have a veteran staff that have been with the committee for many, many years. And even our newer folks have now been with us for a couple of years. And so I just want to name them because they're especially the last week or two, our staff has been really burning the midnight oil and beyond, getting us ready for this markup day. And so Ms. Nelson and House CFL Research, a big thank you. Mr. Marble, I just so appreciate our friendship and a working relationship. Thank you. I know you've been putting in a lot of hours. Mr. Dodge, of course, our committee legislative assistant. Mr. Howe, our committee administrator, really, really working hard, just bouncing so many balls in the air so often, you know, just incredible multitasking. And then, of course, last but not least at all, we are so blessed to have, I think, two of the most incredible nonpartisan staff, I think, in this whole institution. Mr. Burris and Mr. Lee,
yes.
I can't thank you enough. You have, you know, served both sides so well and so ably. Again, just really, really so fortunate to have you. And, you know, you've been with this committee now, I think in Mr. Burris's case, the better part of a decade. And Mr. Lee, I think also over 10 years now. So we really appreciate you and we appreciate your work. So now, members, just very briefly, again, thanks for the robust discussion we had and on our amendments. I think we really highlighted a number of the issues in the bill. And I just, you know, want to mention four quick things. Yeah, heading into this 2022 supplemental year, the number one priority for our side, and I think many on the Republican side, was to really look at this bipartisan infrastructure bill and what its implications are for Minnesota. So the number one priority was that we appropriate money, we offer guidance for how that money is spent, we match the federal money, because this is a historical moment for transportation, members. I mean, we have had nothing like this since the New Deal. And so it's incumbent on us to make sure that Minnesota gets its fair share and that we direct these monies to where they're needed. And we accomplish that in this bill. We accomplish it. And as I said earlier, Vice Chair Cagle, you deserve a lot of credit for that. We wanted to make a big statement about safety, we accomplished that in this bill. We, of course, have the new task force with money appropriated, but we have other safety positions in this bill, particularly around the pedestrian issue. We had a whole week, a whole day of hearings on that. We've had other safety initiatives included in this bill. We have to keep working hard to save lives. The work zone safety piece is critically important. Thank you, Representative Bernardi, for your work on that. As with any transportation bill, I want us to have a balanced package. I want our roads and bridge infrastructure supported. I want all parts of the state and all modes supported. We accomplished that in this bill. We have $80 million of very critical trunk highway funding to repair and replace bridges. We have money in this bill for small cities and townships. We have very, very important new investments in our transit system and making that a key part of any transportation bill is significant because transit is very, very important for our goals around climate and equity and mobility and getting people to where they need to go. And so we have Representative Jordan's bill, I think, is a key part of this, electrifying our transportation infrastructure, be it buses or regular vehicles through our EV charging infrastructure pieces, absolutely critical. So we have a balanced package. All modes, all parts of the state benefit from this bill. And I also am very proud of the fact that we are able to move forward a passenger rail initiative that has been really worked on for many, many, many years. This is an important time to support the NLX, and so that is a key part of this bill as well. And we have lots of support for that line all the way from Duluth to the Twin Cities, and I think will be an important part of our regional infrastructure. So with that, members, we have a very, very good bill, a good bill for mobility, a good bill for jobs, a good bill for climate, a good bill for equity, a good bill for all parts of the state. And Madam Chair, I will, I guess, is this the time I renew my, no, or
we're on the
we want to adopt the motion to adopt the DE1 is, I think, where we're at right now in the process. So.
All right. Thank you, Chair Hornstein. So we will
As amended.
Yes. So we will be taking a voice vote on adopting the DE as amended. So if everybody could unmute, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, please say no.
Aye. No.
No.
Motion no. The motion prevails, and the DE1 as amended is adopted. So now we're back on the House File 1683 as amended. I think we kind of got our last discussion out of the way, unless you have anything more to add, Chair Hornstein.
Yeah, just another big thank you to everyone, and I would encourage a yes vote on the bill.
All right. Thank you, Chair Hornstein. With that, would you like to renew your motion that House File 1683, as amended, be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee and that the staff is directed to make any technical changes as needed?
That is my motion, Madam Chair.
Sounds good. With that, Mr. Dodge, would you please take the roll? Chair is an aye.
Hagel, aye. Representative Hornstein.
Hornstein, aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Petersburg.
Petersburg, no.
Petersburg, nay. Representative Barr.
Barr, no.
Barr, nay. Representative Bernardi.
Bernardi, aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Elkins.
Elkins, aye.
Elkins, aye. Representative Frederick.
Frederick, aye.
Frederick, aye. Representative Hausman.
Hausman, aye.
Hausman, aye. Representative Heinrich.
Heinrich, no.
Heinrich, nay. Representative Kosnick.
Kosnick, no.
Kosnick, nay. Representative Mason.
Mason, aye.
Mason, aye. Representative Murphy.
Murphy, aye.
Murphy, aye. Representative Nelson.
Nelson, aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Olson.
Olson, no.
Olson, nay. Representative Richardson.
Aye.
Richardson, aye. Representative Torkelson.
Torkelson, no.
Torkelson, nay. Representative West.
West, no.
West, nay. There are 10 ayes and 7 nays.
There being 10 ayes and 7 nays, the motion prevails. Thank you, Chair Hornstein. Any announcements before we adjourn, Chair Hornstein?
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, and thank you, members, for, again, a great discussion and a great bill. I wanted to just let folks know some next steps here. After break, as you know, this bill will be going to Ways and Means and then onto the floor after that. So next week or the week after our break, we'll have a lot of these omnibus bills through Ways and Means, and then we'll start onto the floor. So our next opportunity to debate this bill, those of you on Ways and Means, we'll have that, I believe, coming up around April 20th. But of course, that that schedule is subject to change. But I did want to let members know, again, we will get you much more specific information, but we're going to continue to meet. We have some additional work to do, even past deadline. Of course, we're going to have the hearing on the life cycle pavement issue that Representative Heinrich brought. We're going to also discuss the task force that Representative Petersburg referred to on the Highway User Tax Distribution Fund and its uses. There is a report that our nonpartisan staff prepared, and we'll be taking a look at that. And then we have a number of trunk highway bond and other transportation bond proposals, and we're going to hear those bills on an informational basis. That's kind of been a tradition in this committee. We haven't done it the last couple years, but I think it's pretty important to do it this year, not only because there are critical transportation bonding requests that are worthy of hearings, but there is a fairly large bonding earmark section in the Senate bill, and we want to be prepared for that. And so there's even more urgency to hearing those bonding bills. So those hearings will likely be on the early side of the morning, both Tuesday the 26th and possibly Wednesday the 27th or Thursday the 28th. But I envision about two hearings, and I'm saying the morning because we'll probably be on the floor in the beginning and the mid to late mornings and into the evenings when we're debating these omnibus bills last week of April. So with that, members, a very, very happy Easter, a very happy Passover, happy and blessed Ramadan. And Madam Chair, I'll hand it back to you if you want to adjourn us. Representative Murphy has a question.
I just want to be sure. So we can take that from now to the end of break, we probably don't have any need to carry around our packets of information about transportation. Am I correct? And well, I don't have to take my stuff home. I can leave my stuff here.
Well, Representative Murphy, you have a wealth of knowledge about transportation. I always encourage reading about it. But I think that we all need to take a break, not only from this issue, but many others, and enjoy our families and enjoy this blessed time of year and the holidays that we celebrate. And again, being with our constituents and our families is of utmost importance right now. But if you want to read about transportation and get ready for the floor debate, I certainly would not discourage that.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that very much. But we're not going to get any little messages from John Howard. Or we're not going to get any anything unless it has to do with capital investments.
I cannot commit to no messages from John Howe, but it's likely you will not get any.
Okay. I appreciate that, Mr. Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Murphy. So with that, our next meeting is at the call of the chair. And with that, we are adjourned. Thank you all.